ಸ್ವಯಂ ಶ್ರೀಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಸೂತ್ರ ಸದಸ್ಯರು ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಸಮಾರದಿಂದ ಪಕ್ಷಿಲಾಂಡ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಜಯಂ ಶ್ರೀಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾನಂದ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಅನಂದಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ರಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಸ್ವಯಂ ಪ್ರಭು ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂದರಾಧಾರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಗಿರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಯಮುನ ಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿಕಿ ಸತ್ಯ ದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Vandana. Glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashyati Veshadarini. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
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 ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಾಶ್ರಯಾಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ಮೀಶ್ರೀಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀವಾದಮಗುರುಗಣೇಶೀರೂಪಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾಧ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಂ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಗಣಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀಯಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂ ಚ
ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನೀ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರ್ವಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯಾರಣಿ ನಮೋ ವಿಶ್ವಪದಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಶ್ರೀವರ್ಷಭಾನದೇವಿ ಜಯನಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನ ದಾಯಿನೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಗೋರಕರ್ಣಶಕ್ತಿ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮೂರ್ತೇ ರೂಪಾಯುರವಿರುದ್ಧಾಮಿಧಾರಿಣಿ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾಮೂರ್ತೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬರಸಾಂಬೋಧೆ ಪದಾಂಬುಜಾಯ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದನಾಮಿನಿ ಗೌರವಶಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ರೂಪಾಂತರಾಯಣೆ ಗೌರವಾಭೂಮೇಶ್ವರಸಜಯ ಪ್ರಿಯ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಹೋಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾರಾಯಣೇಯಮಃ ಭಕ್ತಶಕ್ತಿ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಕರ್ಮಾಸಿಂದೋಸ್ತು ಜಲದಂಸುರೋಮೇರ್ಗದಿ ಸರ್ವಸ್ತಮದಾಂಗೋ ಜೌರಾಧಾ ಮದನಮೋಹನೌ ವಿದ್ಯಾಧಾರಣ್ಯ ಕಲ್ಪತೃಮಾನ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಂತ್ರಾರ ಸಂಭಾಷಣಸ್ತು ಶ್ರೀಮಂತ್ರಾಧಾ ಶಿವರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದೇವೋ ಪ್ರೇಷಾವಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ ಉಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಂತ ಸರಸಾರಣ್ಯ ವಂಶೀ ಪಟಕ ಸ್ಥಿರ
Swabhavam is always different. Our prakriti, our nature in all of us is different. The reason for that is these three modes of material nature. That's the first thing. Secondly, we have also seen that in everything what we do in this world, it has a very powerful influence in us. Isn't it? Including satsangam, which we discussed last Sunday. So, അവർ ത്രൈഗുണ്യാൽ ഭിന്ന ഭേദം ത്രിഗുണം ദീസ് ആർ കോൾഡ് ത്രിഗുണം ദീസ് ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ ദി ഡിഫറൻസസ് ഹാവ് കം അമംഗ് ദ പീപ്പിൾ അവർ ബിഹേവിയർ ഈസ് ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഓൾ ഓവർ ദ വേൾഡ് പീപ്പിൾ ആർ ഡിഫറെന്റ് from one country to another country, even within the country, among the people, individually also, everybody is different, isn't it? So this difference is mainly because of this triguna, three modes of nature. That is its important thing. Trigunyal bhinna bhedam bhavadihi bhuvane. Therefore, in this world, heenam, madhyamam, uttamam. The three categories of people. Heenam means in the lowest level. Madhyama means in the middle level. Uttama means the best one. Hina Madhyam Uttamam. Trigunyal Bhinna Vedam Bhavadihi Bhuvane Hina Madhyam Uttamam. And how does it affect Jnanam? The knowledge of a person is affected by the Guna. How can that be? You may ask the question. But it does. Then the knowledge in a person, spiritual knowledge in a person also, is affected by the Guna. Jnanam. His Shraddha in spiritual life is affected by the Guna. The Shraddha in spiritual life is affected by the Guna. Karta is affected by the Guna. That means that the I am the doer, this will change according to the Guna in a person. In Sattagunam, he will be in one way, Rajagunam will be in another way, Tamogunam it will be in a different way. The place where one destiny brings him to live is also will be like that, based on the guna, vasadihi. And the happiness he experiences in life will be based on the guna. In sattugunam he will experience one kind of happiness, in rajogunam he will experience a different kind of happiness, and in tamogunam it will be another kind of happiness. Sukham. Karma will be different. That means the kind of work what one does is attraction for different karma. It will vary according to the guna. Karma. Kind of karma he is attracted to. Aharam, food, what he takes will vary according to his guna. All these things are affected by the guna. So that means Gunam, Trigunam has a very powerful influence on our life in this world. There is no question. Although, none of them has anything to do with the self. This is the important thing. Trigunyal bhinna bhedam bhavadihi bhuvane hina madhyottamam yajnanam shraddha cha karta vasatir abhisukham karma cha ahara bhedah. This is all varies. Tulkshetra tulnishevadi dupanirasu idihavuna tulparam gatu sarvam. Then, beyond all these three modes of nature, is Krishna is saying that spiritual side, which is transcendental to all the three gunams. The three gunams have no influence there. Which one? On the spiritual plane. These are all on the material plane. Which one? These three gunams are all on the material plane. But once you move on to the spiritual plane, there is no effect of the modes of nature. People, when they read Shastram, they get often confused. For example, I can give you many examples for this in the Shastram also, how we get confused about it. What was happening, say, 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago, it's not the same situation today, isn't it? And when you read certain injunctions in the Shastram, you take it that it is for all time to come. People misunderstand it like that. It is not. It's not for all time to come. Just like you can see the relationship between man and woman, for example, 100 years ago were different than what it is today. The things have changed so much. And this changes, what is continuously happening in the nature is due to this material modes of nature changing. Along with that, this will also change. Because it is like that, there cannot be one Shastram to tell you for all time to come as fixed. It will not work. It will not be any, it cannot function in that way. But then, what is Shastram, permanent in the Shastram is Brahmavidya, the knowledge of the Self. That doesn't change. Knowledge of Atma or knowledge of our Self, Swarupam, that doesn't change, and therefore the Shastram related to the Swarupam also doesn't change. But many other things in the Puranams, when you read, a lot of things is based on the time and the circumstances at that time when it happened, when they lived here. Today, situation has changed and accordingly everything is different, isn't it? So people always ask this question that how do we relate with the Shastram? Because Shastram says so many things in relationship with the behavior pattern of the people, isn't it? So, but that is continuously changing. Continuously changing. For example, the man in the Satyugam is different than the man in the Kaliyugam, isn't it? The person in Satyugam is more peaceful, more fixed in his goal of life, and simple and truthful. So many things as the qualities of the person in Satyugam. The man in the Kaliyugam is exactly opposite to all of these things. So, you can't have one Shastram written for all time to come. It will vary. There are anything related to our Swabhavam, what is mentioned in the Shastram. You have to see it like that. Otherwise, it will be very confusing. Because people always ask this question, that, oh, it's mentioned in the Shastram like that. And today the whole situation is so different. So, only Brahmavidya never changes. Everything else changes. And there is no Shastram. What you read in the Puranam is all based on the time and the circumstances then, what existed when it happened. And you can't apply that, a blanket rule for all time to come. It will not be possible to do that. So, Traigunyal Bhinnarupam Bhavadihi Bhuvine Heena Madhyam. So based on that, these three categories, as much as Krishna is changing the modes of nature, it will change our behavior also. Krishna is controlling everything. He changes the modes of nature. He gets into our head and changes Yadevi Sarvamudeshu Buddhi Rubena Samstida. He changes our intelligence, our nature changes here. Isn't it? Things which were considered abominable before, we are not considering anymore abominable. We can kill as many people as we want, as and when we like it, without any discrimination, no problem. And we are still very respectable in the society, isn't it? So this is the thing. So so Krishna was mentioning in that verses what we have seen so far, that these three modes of material nature has a very, very strong influence in this world and in our behavior pattern also. And we have also seen, of course, as far as the material modes of nature, as material life is concerned, it's no point in discussing. It is useless. As far as we are concerned, how it affects us, our spiritual life, that's what matters, isn't it? So that is why, when we talked about it last Sunday, I mentioned, even in when we come to satsangam, how sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam will affect us. A person in sattugunam will capture the message. Person in Rajogunam will think about raising funds and making a big show of the whole thing, elaborate arrangements, that's what it will go through his head. Person in Tamogunam, he will not understand anything. These three, Rajogunam tends the person to act immediately, to get into action. Tamogunam does not give any clue, it doesn't get. Tamogunam, it will be very difficult to sit in the satsangam with Tamogunam. That's the difficulty with Tamogunam. One Mahatma used to say this in his younger days when he used to go for satsangam. He was at college at that time and he used to take his friends with him for the satsangam because he liked his friends to go and get the benefit of that satsangam which he was enjoying. So he used to say that his friends used to go with him but they were so impatient to sit and listen. And some of them will say, well, I'll go and wait for you at the bus station. When you finish, you come, I'll meet you there. He just couldn't sit. Just couldn't sit to listen to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavad. And so, therefore, it is a difficult thing. That is the difference between Satyugunam Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So, here, so, in Tamogunam, it will be difficult even to sit in the Salsangam. And sometimes we can see in Salsangam, people fall asleep, isn't it? But even though they may sleep, they are not Tamogunis. That you have to understand. Even though they may, because there is a part of Tamogunam in them, but it is mixed with Sattva. That is why they are able to sit, but they fall asleep. Pure Tamogunam, if it predominates, he won't be able to sit there. He will walk out from there. So, that Tamogunam, which comes in Salsangam, associated with sleep, that Tamogunam will eventually leave him. It will not stay. So, because when Tamogunam is predominant in a person, everything will be negative. That is the symptom of Tamogunam. These gunams are also mixed in everybody, isn't it? Gunanam asamishranam, Krishna says later on. That samishrami, they are mixed, you know, everybody. So, even though tamogunam is very predominant in a person, it will go into the negative center, not into the right place. It will go into the negative center. Because when we say negative center means, whatever you hear, it will not connect you with Krishna. It will make you to go away from Krishna. That is what it is called, negative center. Instead of becoming Krishna conscious, you become more demoniac. That's what will happen with that tamogunam's nature. Yeah. So, in other words, it will bind you more and more towards the world rather than towards the soul, rather than towards the soul. So this you can see, if you carefully observe people, this you can see. If you see these management committees in the temple, in all over the world, not only in one place, all over the world you will see this character. If when you look at the committee members, there will be something like 8 to 10 people in them. But, or management council or whatever they call it, or it's a group of people who are managing the temple. There will be one or two persons there who have some sattvagunam in them. Majority of them will be only one goal, how to develop the funds for the temple. Their mind will be working in that. And not only that, and in some places you will see that they will not be too concerned whether the programs in the spiritual activities in the temple is working okay or not. They are not bothered at all about it. All their concern is more money coming to the temple. The funds all the time is going up. And if some few people took some interest to go there and to engage in some spiritual activities like chanting the holy name or Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, they will stop it. They don't want it there. It's disturbance for us because of the rajogunam in them. Because of the their tamogunam is so high. Then, and if there is anyone takes any initiative to engage in spiritual activity, they will make stop it. They won't like it. So, that's the very nature of tamogunam. Whatever tamogunam touches, it will make it dysfunctional. They make sure it doesn't function. That's that tamogunam that is working in the person. So, often many temples it is like that. But then you may find one or two people who have that sattvagunam to see, so therefore temple has to go on in that principle only. Everywhere in the world it is like that. Rajogunam is very predominant, or tamogunam is predominant among the management committee members. This is a fact of life. Among the management committee you will see this rajogunam and tamogunam very strong in them. And because of that, they are not too bothered whether any spiritual life is there in the temple or not. All they are looking for, what will attract funds to the temple. And public is also like that because they don't know anything about it. They also think our temple is doing very well. It's just like another company running there. You start analyzing things like that. They make the profit and loss account and the final accounts if it's doing well, they're happy with that, isn't it? So, this is that Gunam, Trigunam does to the temples. Trigunam does this to the temples even. So, anything which Tamogunam touches, it will make it black. Make it black. This is the nature of Tamogunam. What does Rajogunam does? Rajogunam will create a lot of work for everybody. You come to spiritual life to get out of this karma. And you are dragging them to 24 hours then, after that. Karma, after coming to understand that karma is not going to solve the problem. Problem is spiritual. It's not problem in the karma. Problem is spiritual. We don't have that spiritual realizations. But if the people who are managing the places in Rajogunam, what they will do, they will find more and more avenues to engage people in more karma. Never allow the knowledge to go in. Because everything will become karma pradhanam. Karma becomes take control of the. And not only that, what they will do is, they will make fun of Satyagunam also. They will make fun of Satyagunam. They will ask, what's the point in sitting here and hearing Bhagavad Gita? You should do some work, some service. They will say, this will be their logic. So, and you are in this world, you have to work here very hard. This is all Rajoguni's words. Rajoguni's words, this is. So, because they cannot understand the shanti that comes from Satyagunam, they don't know that. That's the problem. Because they don't know what shanti means, they have always been Rajogunam. That's all what they know. Either Rajogunam or Tamogunam. They never experience a shanti in life. And therefore, they will not be agreeable for anything in relationship with Satyagunam. Always they will argue that working is important. This is the nature of the Rajogunam. Now, so you've seen how Tamogunam does in spiritual life, what Rajogunam does in spiritual life. Satyagunam, what does it do? Satyagunam brings illumination to a person. He illuminates a person. And he will make a person more matured for hearing. And by listening alone, little by little, he will start feeling that spurti inside, samvit or spurti. In the Vedantam also, particularly in everything, not only in Vedantam, Shravanam is an important thing. Hearing, isn't it? But in order to hear, you have to have some pakvada inside, maturity inside. Otherwise you can't hear. And people also, because they don't have that hearing patience or to hear, or the nature to hear, that they will identify with the body and they will karma will immediately push them. Whereas Satyagunam stops that. Satyagunam pulls back that urge to go and do things, to run after funds and things like that. And what will happen is that it will take you quietly out of the body, mind, intelligence, and take you, free you from that effect of these things on us. It's a grip on us, isn't it? It's like a scorpionic grip, it's called, the grip of the body on us, isn't it? And it will give you some clarity and freedom inside to think in terms of the soul, to Atmavicharam, for inquiry about the self. In other words, that person in Satyagunam, he will be more peaceful and be more attracted towards hearing Shastram. And the knowledge in the Shastram, he will be attracted to. Not only that, he'll get attracted to the liberated souls and the realized souls. And he'll be more attracted towards them. And you can see sometimes people will say, he can come and give a class and go, that's enough, they'll say. That's Rajoguni. Rajoguni is thinking that we'll invite all the big people, but he won't hear what he's saying. He couldn't hear because he's too busy making the management and organizing. So what happens then? So this is for others, not for him. For others he will organize everything. Whereas person Satyagunam, he will listen. He will see properly and he will be attracted to Jnanavicharam, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. He will find a taste for all these things. This is all the nature of the Satyagunam. This is all the nature of Satyagunam. So you can see very distinctly how these three gunams work in all of us. is it not? How it will? This understanding is necessary, because otherwise you walk into any spiritual organizations and you start thinking all that is going on is perfect there. And you'll go along with that for a while. Because we haven't developed that finer understanding of these three modes of nature. How we are concerned only about that. Material life, it's nothing you can do about it. That is full of rajogunam, tamogunam anyway. There will not be any sattagunam there. So that's not a concern. But when it comes to spiritual life also, if we get trapped, you should look at it in the background of this, what Krishna has spoken here. That's important. Especially you can see this certain very difficult part of Upanishads, like Bhadaranyam and others. They have very complex topics of discussion. And it requires a total peace inside if you want to capture it, to understand it, what is being spoken there. Many of the Upanishads are like that. And so when you are discussing those topics, if your mind is working with funds raising or any other kind of activity, it will not get in. And this was a basic quality of the Brahminical community. Brahmanas had this nature in them, that they were not least concerned about their survival in this world because of their thirst for self-realization, thirst for knowledge. Thirst for knowledge and thirst for self, because they know very well that if they get distracted or attracted by the money or any other aspect in this world, they can lose that strength of the spiritual life. And that you will observe, you see people that you can see from that. So these three modes of nature, you have to observe people and you have to evaluate or analyze yourself these things and come to your own conclusions about it before you get into jumping into something. That's the most important thing. That you have to make your own judgment on these things. Not that somebody is doing something, go along with it. Because there is a shastram for that. Krishna is saying that. How the three modes of nature will affect your own judgment in everything. After saying this, Krishna is going to talk about again further about it. So let's look at that. In the ninth verse.
Sattvam sukhe sanjayati.
Sattvam sukhe sanjayati.
Yajakarmani bharatam.
Yajakarmani bharatam.
Jnanam avrutya dhutama.
Jnanam avrutya dhutama.
Pramade sanjayatyutam.
Pramade sanjayatyutam.
Sattvam sukhe sanjayati.
Sattvam sukhe sanjayati.
Yajakarmani bharatam.
Yajakarmani bharatam.
Jnanam avrutya dhutama.
Jnanam avrutya dhutama.
Pramade sanjayatyutam.
Pramade sanjayatyutam.
The mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. Passion conditions him to the fruits of action. And ignorance to madness. Ignorance to madness.
Sattvam sukhe sanjayati.
Raja karmani bharata. Jnanam avrutyatu tama. And pramade sanjayatyuta. Krishna is saying there. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati samshleshayati. Raja karmani he bharata samjayati iti anuvartade. Jnanam sattukritam vivekam avutya achadyatu tama. Svena avaranalpana pramade samjayati ut pramado nama prapta karta vyagaranam.
Sattugunam, we've seen before, binds to happiness. Sukham, isn't it? That means it binds you to happiness. Binds you to happiness.
Rajogunam binds you to karma, action, isn't it? So, what it does is, this tamogunam cover up that knowledge what comes from sattvagunam. So, sattvagunam creates some kind of knowledge in a person. He is able to discriminate things, able to see things properly, and able to judge things properly. Kind of discriminative power in a person. Tamogunam covers that. And he makes that person useless. That means he cannot even execute his regular activities properly. That's what tamogunam does. You see? That's what I say. Tamasvena avaranalpanam. Tamasa means avaranam, coverage, isn't it? So it puts a cover on the person in such a way that even if he has some knowledge to do things properly, he will cover it and make him useless, make him lazy. Pramadam, malasyam, nidra, all those things will manifest in that person. Then, and you can see here that sattvam, what does it do? Sattvam will take you in the right direction. That's what sattvagunam does. It will show you the path of knowledge. It will always keep you in the right track. This is all sattvagunam does. Sattvagunam can do that. But it has got some problem with the saisangam. That also you have to say this. That suppose you have been listening to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam for some time, and for a few months you didn't get it. And then what happens? You go off the track. Again you lose the track. And again you start desiring, oh, I would like to go for satsangam or to hear more from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, you got attached to that satsangam. The happiness that's coming from this satsangam, you got attached to that. That is not good. That's not good. Because utilizing the satsangam, and from there you have to develop within yourself that realization of self-realization, and you should develop that as your own realization. That means it should not be like this, only when in the satsangam I enjoy it, then after that I'll go my own way. That's not good. That is what this problem Krishna is talking about. That whatever we... Satsangam is not wrong, but what you get from satsangam, you have to develop it as your own. That is why you have to devote time for that. For your own mananam, your own nididhyasanam, and shravanam is satsangam, but mananam nididhyasanam is individual thing. That they have to give time for that and utilize what has been heard. In that realization has to become as your own realization. So, satsangam is just like a truck. It should not become like a truck that you will get into it and go for some time and then come out and leave it behind. So, when you get it, you may feel some happiness from that. But when you finish with it, it's gone. That should not happen. Then you are saying that, oh, I need another satsangam again next week. So, no matter what it is, whether it's satsangam, or whether it's a cassette, or the CD, or the website, or the book, or the VCD, or DVD, or whatever it is, anything doesn't matter. Anything that is outside us, that means that's not within, inside me, and if it is giving me some happiness from outside, the very nature of that, it will give you sometimes some happiness and it will go. That should not happen. You see, that if you have got something from satsangam, you have to make it your own, that thing. That means what? That what you heard, what you understood, you should make it as your own. That is your success of satsangam. It shouldn't be that only when you hear, you get it, feel good, and then when you leave, you lose it. That shouldn't be. If that is what Krishna is talking about, sattvam, he says here, sattvam sukhe sanjayati, that's what it means. Sukhe sanjayati, it will bind you to the sukham, but it will not give you the knowledge. What is
it's only you can say it has got it, it's done its job, only if it has become your property, your realization it has to become. That's why it's so important. So, anything that is outside you, that means the satsangam or books or CD or website or anything, that is all external. That's not yours yet. That's in the website or in the equipment or whatever it is. It's not yours. It has to become yours. That's what Krishna is saying here. Therefore, so you observe this very carefully. So you can utilize all that. There's nothing wrong in that. But little by little you should use it, and at the same time you have to become independent of it. You have to become independent of it. And that thoughtful process should start inside. And that happiness what you found in the sarisangam from hearing should become your sukham in loneliness, in solitude. In seclusion, you have to get it within yourself. Only then you can say that the sarisangam has benefited you. Because you can see there that sukham is the sukham of the soul from the Atma. And you will also have to start realizing that happiness is inside there. Soul has this nature, isn't it? Otherwise these definitions have no meaning. Atma by very nature is what? Satta, Chitta, Anandam. So if Anandam is there in the Atma, it should be an experience also. Theoretically knowing that is no useless. It's all useless. To tell others, you can tell everybody else that there is happiness in the soul, you can get it from there. But you yourself haven't got it, what is the use? That is the point Krishna is making here. So, to know that happiness, what you experience in Satsangam, is the happiness of the soul. Antaryami inside is revealing that to us, from inside. And that is our real nature, that happiness of the soul. And you have to continuously try to be situated in that state. Firmly to situate it in that state and not to be dependent on even the satsangam. Not to be dependent on the satsangam. If you look at great Mahalpas, you will see this. There are many people, even today, they will hear, but they have gone very far in their personal effort. They have gone very far. They have heard, whatever they have heard, they have made it their own. They didn't study books or anything very much. But that individual effort to make it as their own realization, they have gone very far in that. Why? In Vyavaharam, they have understood how to deal with the Vyavaharam in this world. And they have also learned how this knowledge of the soul is the only shelter. In other words, as we mentioned before, they have learned to not to take shelter of the world. They have learned to take shelter of the knowledge of the soul. And they have learned very well how to separate these two things. Krishna for shelter, world for vyavahara. That clarity has come to them in their life. And you can see that also. So when you get that in satsangam, you have to work in satsangam to get that. And to sit in the satsangam also is for this purpose only. That it has to become your own. It shouldn't be staying something outside all the time. But if it comes to the stage, only if I have satsangam, then I can survive in this world, then there is a thing called ashraya dosham. Ashraya dosham. Ashraya dosham means that dependent on something else. It shouldn't be. A spiritually strong person should not be dependent on anything external, including the temple, including the deity worship. Nothing. He has to be dependent on the self, Atma inside, the soul, which is capable of keeping him, that shanti inside. That is what all spiritual life is about, isn't it? So, that is why Krishna is saying here, sukhe sanjayati. That means, if you get some happiness from satsangam like that, you will get attached to that sukham. You will get attached to that sukham. So, sukham attachment follows. Then what will happen? Whole life you will be going for satsangam. That's also another thing. Whole life you will be going for satsangam. And after satsangam is over, you will go. And
That sukham that comes from satsangam is coming and going. It comes and goes, isn't it? So, what we, actually the happiness of the soul is not something to come and go. If it is coming and going, there's some problem there, isn't it? So, if you want permanent happiness, that under any circumstances you are able to be situated strongly in spiritual life, then you need that happiness which has to be developed within utilizing the knowledge of the soul, what you may have received from the satsangam, and little by little through hearing, contemplation or reflection, and nididhyasana. That means continuously holding on to that truth and to make it your own. To make it your own. Swayatam. Swayatam means it makes to your own. It has to become your own. Only then it will work. Otherwise, what will happen is there are some people, they'll go and stay with great personalities. They'll be very close with them. Very close with them. And whole life they have spent like that. And after the Mahatma left this world, they started feeling completely lost. This was the mistake they have done. There are many people like that. It has happened to many, many people like that. They stayed with great personalities. But what happened was, finally, when the Mahatma left this world, when they were with them, they were okay. The moment the person was, he wasn't there, Mahatma left, the person didn't know what to do. The situation has happened. So, this you can see. Sometimes devotees say like this, so when we are with you, it is very nice, they say to these great personalities. And then Ramana Maharshi used to say about this, because there were so many devotees like that when he was there, who used to feel the same thing in their association. So he said that if you stay here for some period of time, your mind will start working then. When the mind starts working, now you say you're feeling happy, you're feeling good, hearing from the Shastram, but when the mind starts working, you will have problems. So, temporarily what happens is, in this satsangam, the mind comes down, the mind stops its function temporarily, it stops its function. After a while, your mind will start again, its activities, isn't it? So, therefore, as much as you are having that peace inside, at that same time, this effort must continue to bring it as your own, to make it your own, and to make that truth as yours. And therefore, one has to learn to sit alone and to engage in this contemplation and on the reflection also. And mananam, nididhyasanam, this one has to do and to get established in the truth. So, if it is not like that, that's what Krishna is warning there. Satyam sukhe sanjayati. That is that word. That you will get attracted to the happiness of the satsangam, but you will not get the truth. That's what will happen. You will miss the point there. You will think that, oh, satsangam is nice, I'll go and sit and listen. But if you don't make it as your own, very quickly, very soon, you will feel that you are feeling lost something. And rather, because you are getting attached to the happiness of the satsangam rather than the benefit, what one should get from that. That's the point Krishna is making here. So, some kind of internal happiness you will get from that. Andarika sukham. And you will get attached to that. The satugunam does that. Satugunam's problem is there. Not that satugunam is free from all the problems. The satugunam's difficulty, that's what it does to us. It creates a artificial happiness and gets you attached to it. But in reality, it's not doing anything for you. Not getting the desired result, in other words. Satsangam is for what? To make that leap in the life, that to move away from the body and to take the words. Remember I mentioned last class also, rules and regulations is easy to follow. It's not difficult. Every religion has got lots of rules and regulations, isn't it? So, like you can see in Nectar Devotion also, there's so many rules and regulations. To follow them, if you put a little bit effort, it's easy, it's not so difficult. But accepting this understanding inside, that's where it's a total block from inside. The mind doesn't allow to accept the knowledge of the Shastra easily.
That is where all our effort has to be, not rather than on the rules and regulations. Rules and regulations, you'll be, whether you follow 90% or 80%, it makes no much difference on the rules. Some people are 100%, isn't it? They will do everything strictly according to the rules. Some people are 10%. They have made a lot of concessions themselves. So that will vary from, but one who has taken this knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and who has made it as his own knowledge, and in practical life, if it is changing him, in his dealings with the world, dealings with others, it is that person who has really advanced spiritually, not the one who is following 100% rules and regulations. You must know this difference. People, most of the people fall into this trap of rules and regulations. That is why Krishna said that in the Bhagavatam, you remember? Gunam, dosham and all is there, but best thing is not to get trapped in that. Gunam and dosham, that is gunam, he said. To see gunam and dosham in everything, because rules and regulations is like that. And it is an important thing to get caught up in the gunam and dosham is not a good thing. But at the same time, if you ask the question, is it necessary? Yes, it is necessary. Gunam dosham is necessary. But at the same time, more difficult than that side of it is this acceptance of the words what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad. This philosophical understanding, this tatvajnanam, or this commitment to the words what Krishna has spoken and accepting it without any, because that is where all the negativity comes from, the mind and the intelligence and all that, and from the world. You have to fight against all that to go along with Krishna's words, isn't it? It's not easy. It's a hard task, that is. That is why tatvajnanam, most of the people find it very difficult. So therefore, they are happy with the rules and regulations. And then, finally, what is left? Only rules and regulations remains at the end. That's no good. That's no good. So then Krishna says, next one is Raja Karmani Bharada. Like Satunam has done like this, with the Satyam Sukhe Sanjayati, Raja Karmani Bharada. He says, Rajogunam will take you to the karma and get attached there. And to get attached there. Some people, they cannot sit quiet without doing anything. It's a very difficult problem that is with many people. And then they have to keep doing something or the other. And that is Rajogunam. That is Rajogunam. And then it will create all sorts of desires inside. And all sorts of desires inside. You can see that problem with Rajogunam, how it operates, isn't it, in people. And then you won't even know that Rajogunam is working so strongly. Similarly, what does Tamogunam does? Jnana Mavrutyadu Tama. That means it puts a complete cover on the knowledge of the soul. Atmosphere doesn't allow that. Just like the clouds cover the sun, it creates a total coverage of the knowledge of the soul. Pramadi Sanjayatuda. Krishna saying, Pramadi Sanjayatuda. What it does is, it makes you aware all the time that this dead matter is the truth. Jadavastu. Jadam. World is jadam, isn't it? Full of dead matter. And it makes you think that all this dead matter is real. And it also makes you feel that acquiring this dead matter in life is the goal of life. It becomes like that. And like this, it will mislead you, misunderstand everything. This is a misunderstanding. That all the dead matter is the truth. Acquiring this dead matter in life is the goal of life. And like this, it will make you misunderstand everything. And it also creates kamam, lust, anger, greed, envy, and all other things. Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all these things. Tamogunam will do this thing. And what normally happens is, out of these three, one will become strong and it will push the other two out from a person. So that's the next verse. You can see how Krishna says about that. Rajas tamas chabhi bhuya.
Rajas tamas chabhi bhuya.
Sattvam bhavati bharata.
Sattvam bhavati bharata.
Rajas sattvam tamas chaiva.
Rajas sattvam tamas chaiva.
Tamas sattvam rajas tatha.
Tamas sattvam rajas tatha.
That's that. That's what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying that, that one of them will push the other two out from a person. One of them will push the other two from a person. For example, in some people, sattvagunam will push the rajogunam and tamogunam and will come very strongly in them. You can observe this in people, how it comes out. And in some people, rajogunam will push their sattvagunam and tamogunam and will control them. Their rajogunam will come to the front. And in some people, their rajas and sattvagunam, rajogunam, they'll be pushed aside and their tamogunam will come into the front. So out of these three gunams, one of them will always dominate. One of them will dominate. So that is what Krishna is saying there. One of them will dominate. So, and that is what. Then Krishna is saying, if sattvagunam comes, pushing the other two, what happens? That's the next verse. Sarvadvareshu dehesmin
prakasham
upajayate
jnanam
yada tada vidyat
vivardham
sattvam
ityuda
sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayate jnanam yada tada vidyat vivardham sattvam ityuda sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayate jnanam yada tada vidyat vivardham sattvam ityuda. The manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. Illuminated by knowledge. So, here, sarvadvareshu dehesmi, Krishna says, sarvadvareshu dehesmi, all the gates, he says. So, here, we have seen in the last verse, irajasa tamahacha ubhau abhi, abhivoya sattvam bhavati. Udbhavi udbhavi udbhavadi vardhade yadha tadha labdhalmagam sattvam sokaryam jnana sukhadi arambhade he bharata. If when sattvagunam pushes rajogunam and tamogunam, push it down, and sattvagunam comes strongly, then what will happen is that he starts experiencing happiness. Oh, when the sattvagunam is predominating, he starts experiencing happiness. Tadha rajoguna sattvam tamacha eva ubho abhibhuya vardhade yada tada karma trishnadi sukhayam arabhade. Similarly, if rajogunam pushes the sattvagunam and tamogunam down, when it pushes that down, sattvagunam and tamogunam, then you can see in that person attachment for work and desires building up in a person. You can see that. Tama akhyo gunaha sattvam rajacha ubhau abhibhuya tatha eva vardhade yada tada jnana avaranadi sukaryam arambhade. So, similarly, this is a way to observe this, that when tamogunam pushes the sattvagunam and rajagunam in a person down, what will happen is that that person will not feel any attraction for the knowledge of the self or Upanishad's knowledge or Bhagavad Gita's knowledge. He won't feel any attraction. He'll feel kind of reluctance and indifference from the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, going away from the knowledge of the self, what Krishna has spoken. So that is how these three modes work. And he mentioned here that we saw sarvadvareshu dehesim prakasham upajayate jnanam yada tada vidyut vivrdham sattvam ityuda. సర్వద్వారేషు ఆత్మన ఉపలబ్ధి ద్వారాని శ్రోత్రాదీని సర్వాణి కరణాని తేషు సర్వద్వారేషు అంధకరణస్య బుద్ధే బుద్ధి ప్రకాశో దేహే అస్మిన్ ఉపజాయతే తద్ ఏవ జ్ఞానం యదా ఏవం ప్రకాశో జ్ఞానాఖి ఉపజాయతే తదా జ్ఞాన ప్రకాశన లింగన విద్యా వివృద్ధం ఉద్భూతం సత్వం ఇది ఉత అభి. సో వి హావ్ దీస్ నైన్ హోల్స్ ఇన్ ద బాడీ, isn't it? Navadwaram. So through all that, through all those holes, the knowledge of the self starts manifesting. That means, rather than these holes in the body, which are the knowledge of senses and senses of knowledge and senses of action, all those senses will be tuned for the knowledge to flow through. Knowledge to flow through. What Krishna is saying here is that you will notice if you observe all their senses and their subtle body, antakaranam, they call it, which means the mind, intelligence and everything. That subtle body, particularly the mind, the intelligence and those things, and their activities will start coming through their senses. And that is called knowledge. That means you can see that their senses are more tuned for spiritual realizations. The eyes, ears, everything will be spiritually motivated, spiritually attracted. So that is what Krishna is mentioning here, that it creates a kind of illumination in a person, and sometimes they refer to as brahmavarchasa. The word uses the word in the Bhagavatam as brahmavarchasa. Brahmavarchasa means, for example, people go to the forest and perform austerities and penances, isn't it? Rishis and all that. And they develop what they call as brahmavarchasa, this brahma tejasa in them, a kind of aura in them, and that comes through all their body, mind, senses, everywhere, and their intelligence will be clear. They have a very good clarity inside. Body will be very light. Body will be feeling a lightness in the body. Mind is always in a shanti and peaceful state, always alert. All these things you will see in all their senses. All their senses will be very much in a very alert state all the time. All these things. And no disturbances in the mind. And even when they are alone at home or anywhere, even in solitude, they will find them very peaceful. When you see all these things in a person, sometimes you can see this when you go to visit some people. Some people are very disturbed when you go and visit them, isn't it? They'll be under terrible anxiety, and when you look at them, they'll say, "Why have you come?" They'll give you an impression like that. And some other people, they're always relaxed about it, isn't it? I see more relaxed about it. So, therefore, these things are because of the shanti inside. There's no shanti inside. Therefore, even in alone, solitude, you'll find them very peaceful. So, you can see there that when you see these symptoms in a person, you can take it that the sattvagunam has woken up in that person. Not only that, there will be some taste for spiritual knowledge. And as soon as they hear from Brahmavidya or the knowledge what Krishna has spoken there, then they will understand. They will get it very easily. So not only that, suppose things what you heard and you didn't understand, you didn't get it. If the sattvagunam builds up in a person, he'll start understanding it better. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita it is not that difficult. But when you start Upanishads and all, there are so many things spoken there. And sometimes we won't get it. It is not possible to get it because of our lack of sattvagunam inside. But if the satugunam is present inside, you will get the message right. You will get the message right. So, satugunam, what it does is, you can take it that if you are getting a good clarity on various things what Krishna has spoken, you are getting a good clarity inside, and you are feeling the subtlety of the things what Krishna has spoken, you can take it that the satugunam is helping inside. Satugunam is helping inside, or you are situated in the satugunam. Because as soon as you hear, you will understand it. You will understand it. Not only Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Brahma Sutra, everything. That is why Krishna says there, vivardham sattva mityuda. Vivardham. He uses the word vivardham sattva mityuda. In other words, he says there, sattvagunam, you can take it is that is very strongly present in that person. Present in that person. That is the important point. That, so you can see that our day-to-day life is very much controlled by these three modes of nature, isn't it? Day-to-day life is controlled by these three modes of nature. But although you may not be able to do much about it, but it's good to know about it, what is the impact of these things. Now, this is all about the sattvagunam. Now, if rajogunam becomes powerful, what will happen? That's the next verse.
Lobha pravrtir arambha
karmanam
ashamaspraham
rajasetani jayante
vivurdhe bharadarshabham
lobha
pravrtir arambha
karmanam ashamaspraham
rajasetani jayante vivurdhe bharadarshabham lobha pravrtir arambham karmanam ashamaspraha rajasedani jayante vivurdhe bharadarshabham. O chief of the Bharatas, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, uncontrollable desire, hankering, and intense endeavor develop.
Says, Krishna says that. Now, so, if you look at the Bhashyam on that, Ajahn Swami says that lobham lobha paradravyadil saha pravrtihi pravartanam samanya chirishtaha arambaha kasyaha karmanaha ashamaha anubamashamaha harsha ragadi pravrtihi spriha sarva samanya vastu vishaya trishna rajasi gune vivurdhe etani lingani jayande he bharadarshabha.
The biggest problem in this rajogunam is how, what happens is, how the money in your pocket will come to my pocket. This is rajogunam. Simple as that. It is the very basic principle of it. If you say this to others, they get offended by this, isn't it? But this is the truth. How the money that's in your bank account should come to my bank account. That is all Krishna is saying here. That paradravyadil sadhu, paradravyadil sa pravarti pravartana. All the eye will be on that. All the time. How to get the money from the other person to my account. This is the rajogunam's work. Krishna is saying here. So, whenever they see, this is well known, isn't it? This doesn't have to be explained very much about it. Yeah. Everybody understands this. That how to get the money from other person to my pocket. Somehow or the other, their money should come to my control. So they will do anything for that. Say anything, lie anything, cheat anything. And in other words, what they want is, they want a pipeline from your account to my account. It should flow in that way. That's what they are looking for. So, so in these days particularly, it's much more stronger that way, isn't it? So, just like through the pipe, the water flows, it should flow regularly.
So, so that's what lobha. Krishna says that word lobham. That is lobham, isn't it? Lobham. And any amount is not sufficient. Endless that is, that desire. That desire is endless, isn't it? So, just like it's in personal level also, if I get 50,000 pounds a year, I say no, if I can get 60,000 in Australia, I'll go there. Or 100,000 in America, I'll go there. So, this way. So it should be continuously increasing all the time. It should be increasing all the time. And they'll continue to work for that whole life. And when you have a desire to such desire, this Rajogunam has got this capacity. That desire itself will give you the power to do the work. That desire will, we call it in the modern world as motivation. You feel it? We say he's not motivated to work. We have to motivate him. In the companies, they used to say like that, isn't it? So they think it's a good quality that you should have strong motivation. And that's what they want from you, that strong motivation. So if you have this motivation, strong motivation, then you will work. You won't care for the body or mind or anything. Day and night you will work, continuously work. That will become your principle in life. Krishna is saying that is coming from the Rajogunam. That is, you see the problem, and this is the most difficult problem in this world today, isn't it? That people feel so attracted by the world that is on offer, and they're willing to work, and they get tired finally. One day they can't continue anymore. By then the body has lost all its energy and the capacity for anything else, and finally finds it very, very difficult. And then after working like that for whole life, what will understand, what will go into the head finally? So in Ramayana, there is a story about this, that when Ramchandra and Lakshmana and Sidadevi, when they went to the forest, before they went to the forest, they wanted to perform charity, give everything to others. We don't need anything. They are going, Ramchandra's nature was like that, not to keep anything for himself, give it to everyone, thing to everybody else. So he decided to give everything to others before going to the forest. So Brahmana came at that time. He's from a place called Trijada Brahmana. It's called from that. Trijada Brahmana came to see him. And he was a very old person. And he was, has performed plenty of austerities in life. But very poor he was. He had no money at all. And he was struggling in life for food. Also he had nothing, no wealth at all. Absolutely penniless he was. But he was a very brahmana who has performed a lot of austerities. So somehow or the other he heard Ramchandra is giving away a lot of things. So he came to see Ramchandra at that time. And when you looked at him, Valmiki says, his stomach is gone completely inside, not like ours. Exactly opposite. It is gone completely inside because of the starvation, what he was going through. And and he was holding on to one danda, one stick, and he was struggling to walk. And when he was coming to see Ramchandra, Ramchandra saw that, and Ramchandra could not control himself. He smiled, seeing that Brahmana's desire to come and ask for money and ask for some charity. Ramchandra smiled, seeing that. Ramchandra asked him, "What do you want?" He says to him. He said, "I want cow." "I want cows," he said. "Okay." Then Ramchandra said, "Do one thing. That stand there, and you got this danda in your hand. Throw the danda. How far it goes, watch that. And I will give you cows in a line up to the distance the roar goes and falls," he said. See, he threw the danda, and wherever it goes and falls, he said, "I'll give you the cows in a line up to that," he said. So Ramchandra said like that. Ramchandra thought that this person, he cannot even walk. He's struggling to walk, and with this stick alone, how much can he throw? Maximum one cow, he may get it. He said like that. What did he do? This Brahmana, he had his uttariyam, the second cloth on his shoulder. He took it, tied it on his waist tight, and with all his strength, he took his danda and threw it. And it went and crossed the other side of the Saryu River. And when Ramchandra smiled, seeing the strength of that desire inside, see, so you cannot say that everything is based on the body, isn't it? If the mind is desiring like that so strongly, it will make you to do the work so powerfully. It will come out like that, isn't it? Ramchandra gave the cows, a huge amount of cows, on a long line to him and told him that please take it. He said, you're done, you could deserve it. He said to him. So that is what Krishna is saying here, lobham. Lobha pravrti. Lobha pravrti rarambham. Lobha pravrti. Now, never satisfied with anything. Always wants more, more, more. And it will keep on working inside. And so once a king called a... These are all in the Vasishtam, all these stories, it says here like this. That a king called his minister and told him that people never seems to be satisfied, he said, in the kingdom. The people never seems to be satisfied. And will there be anyone satisfied in this world, he said to the minister, to the prime minister. Let's test that, he said. How he decided to test was, he said he called 10 people from the public and he told them, from today morning, tomorrow morning from 6 o'clock, you start running, all of you. And how long can you run? Along with that, I'll give you so much gold, depending on the distance you can run. And all the 10 people started next day morning running. They still haven't come back. They're still running. They're still running. They're still running. This is the world. He said, they're still running apparently. Dogo Vasishtam said, they're still running. They're not finished. They're still running. So only you can give them when they come back. He said, they have not come back yet. So that is why Taimanavar mentions this. He says that some people, even after they receive the whole world in their hands, all the wealth in this world, like Kubera owns the demigod's treasure, isn't it? He's got everything. Till they say, no, it's not enough. That's their situation, he says. That is what Krishna is saying here. Lobha pravrtihi arambaha. They will work for this whole life, for the purpose of this. And not only that, pravrtihi arambaha. They will continue to find new and new avenues. How to engage in karma in some way or the other. So, rajogunam, when it is, Krishna is saying here, karmana ashamaspraha. Rajogunam, when it becomes vivurdham. Vivurdham means when it increases. Karmanam ashamaham. They will never have any time free from karma. They will have no time for freedom from karma. They will have always something to do. Something to do also. But you have to remember one thing. When we say all these things, this doesn't apply to karma yogis. This we are talking about karmis, not karma yogis. Yeah, because you can't mix up these two. Karma yoga is a very higher level. What Krishna talks about in the first six chapters. That is why karma becomes a yogam, you cannot criticize. When karma is executed purely on the basis of gunam, karma yogam is beyond three modes of nature. Karma yogam is beyond three modes of nature, but karma under the three modes of material nature will be like this. You see? Karma yogam, you can do as much karma as you want, provided it is executed as karma yogam. Then it is not. So, swartha karma, that means you are not executing karma yogam. Who are engaged in swartha karma, that means for selfish purposes, executing karma in this world, that's what Krishna is talking about. So, some great mahatmas, they work all the time, continuously, but they will not do anything for themselves. They will do it for others, and they will be continuously busy for the benefit of the world. So, we are not talking about that kind of work here. when you work for selfish reasons, for one's own selfish interest, that kind of work is what Krishna is talking about here. And that difference we should know very clearly. There are some people, they will continuously work in this world for the benefit of others, for the benefit of others, for other purposes, and their work is the work that is done by the prakriti through that body. That's how it is. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. It's working in the world. And it is become a yoga for them. It's become a yoga for them. Or it is a sadhana for them. Or it is bhakti for them. It is bhakti for them. But, and they will, as much as they are engaged in their work in this world through karma yoga, they will become more and more dear to Krishna. More and more dear to Krishna. So, people are there also like that in this world. We are not talking about them here. We are not talking about them here. We are talking about those who are working for their own selfish interests and happiness in this world. And with their desires and for their karma, there is no end to it. There is no end to it. Ashamaha spraha. Then, rajasi etani jayande vivrdhe bharadarshava. Rajogunam, when it becomes very powerful, this will happen. This will happen. This will happen. This will happen. Then, what happens with tamogunam? That is what the next verse is. Aprakasho pravrtischa.
Aprakasho pravrtischa.
Pramado mohameva cha.
Pramado mohameva cha.
Tamasyetani jayante.
Tamasyetani jayante.
Vivardhe kuru nandana.
Vivardhe kuru nandana.
Aprakasho pravrtischa.
Aprakasho pravrtischa.
Pramado mohameva cha.
Pramado mohameva cha.
Tamasyetani jayante.
Vivardhe
kuru nandana. Aprakasho apravrtischa pramado mohameva cha. Tamasyedani jayande vivardhe kuru nandana.
Krishna is saying that
when one, O son of Kundi, when there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, madness, illusion, inertia and darkness are manifested.
Darkness are manifested.
Now, here it says, aprakasham. Aprakasham means, what does aprakasham mean? Aprakasham means no power of discrimination. No discrimination in anything. Just doing what the mind tells him to do. And apravrti. Apravrti means that he doesn't want to do anything also. He'll do something which the mind dictates to him, and he won't do anything what's necessary to be done. That is apravrti. So, this is due to tamogunam. Tamogunam creates this lack of discrimination and this motatam. Motatam means that stupidity in a person. So, maranadvare dvarena api yad bhalam prapyade tad api sangaraga hedugam sarvam gaunam eva iti darshayan aha. So, what will happen to that person when he dies? That will happen now itself in this life. After that, it will definitely happen to that person. Because he is dying in that state. But while living here also, due to his sangam, attachment, to association and to ragam, attachment, it will have its disastrous effect right here. One person once mentioned like this. Somebody, we asked him to read Bhagavad Gita. He read the Bhagavad Gita and he said, I can't understand anything, he said. But the 14th chapter I've understood, he says. This is the 14th chapter. Because I found in some verses, all my symptoms are spoken. This is what he said. All my symptoms I find explained in the Bhagavad Gita, he said. I didn't understand anything else in the Bhagavad Gita. But some of my symptoms are mentioned there. So, he says here, what is that symptoms he's talking about? Tamogunam. So, when I looked at that verse, he said, and I read through it, everything suits, matches me very well with me. Just like when we see certain disease symptoms, in internet and you start looking at yourself, you see it's all matching very well. Similarly, these tamogunam symptoms, when he read Bhagavad Gita, he found that, oh, they're talking about me now. And he started feeling that way. He started feeling that way. This has happened with one person, he said. So that is the power of this tamogunam. So you can see here, three more, sattvam sukhe sanjayati. Krishna says that, isn't it? Sattvam sukhe sanjayati. Braja karmani bharada, jnanam avrutyadu tama, pramade sanjayatyuda. Ninth verse. Then, rajas tamas chabhi bhuyaha, sattvam bhavadi bharada. Rajas sattvam tamas chaiva, tamas sattvam rajas tatha. And finally, sarvadvareshu, deheshin prakasham upachayade, jnanam yada tada vidyad, vivardham sattvamityuda. And then, he mentioned the three. Lobha pravartir arambam karmanam ashamaspratha. Rajasedani jayande vivardhe bharadarshava. Aprakasho apravartischa pramado moham evacha. Tamasedani jayande vivardhe kurimandana. And vivardhe tamasedani jayande vivardhe kurimandana. So, rajas and tamas is covered in that verse. So, here, some things. Knowledge of the self, everybody has, isn't it? Everybody has it. Because Krishna's swarupam is knowledge. Remember, in the Bhagavadam, vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yel jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam is Krishna's swarupam. Krishna is knowledge, is it not? Krishna is knowledge. And that knowledge manifests in these three forms. Which one? Brahmeri, Paramatmeri, Bhagavaniti, Shabdhyade. So that is why Krishna's form is knowledge. That is why Shastram is called knowledge. Vedam. Vedam, the word has come from that. So, Krishna's form is knowledge. Not that knowing something. That is not this one. Knowing something is not knowledge. But what we call here knowledge means prajna. Bodham, awareness, isn't it? That is the nature of Atma. Swarupam. Atma, Swarupam, as we know, which is present in this body, is through awareness, isn't it? Awareness is the, consciousness is Brahman. Consciousness, awareness, is Krishna's form. That is called by different words, Bodham, Yakti, all these are different, Prajna. These are different words used, but it's one and the same thing. Prajna or jnapti or bodham, consciousness, everything is one and the same thing. So, you can see, because awareness is there, prajna is there, therefore we come to know about this world, isn't it? If the awareness is not there, you won't know the existence of this world, is it not? Satta chitta anandam, that is the nature of the soul. So, first thing, it makes you aware of your own existence, that I exist all the time, isn't it? I am, which we have spoken many times, that awareness is in me. That is his first quality. Secondly, because of the presence, because its nature is awareness, it makes you aware of the creation as well. So therefore, this self-realization or realizing the truth is not something you have to acquire from outside. It's already there. And it's already a thing of the past. Because already you have got it. Nothing else has to happen. And here is the problem. Problem is this. What actually we have got is Krishna. And the world and this body, we haven't got it. I know it's a difficult concept, isn't it, to accept this. What we have actually got is Krishna, Atma, soul. That's what we have got. We haven't got this body, we haven't got the world either. We haven't got the world either. Because in our experience, it's not there. You can see that many times you have spoken this. Body has come one day without asking us. And body will go one day without asking us. And while it's there also, we haven't got any control over it. Is it not? We have no control over this body, is it? It keeps on changing, growing up, and it invites illnesses, different illnesses, and sometimes it gets out of the illnesses. So many things happens in this body, but we haven't got the body as our own, like we have got the awareness. Awareness we have got. We haven't never loses it. So actually what we have got is Krishna. That's what we have got. Body we haven't got. And as far as the world is concerned, better not to say anything. We have never got it. We are thinking we are getting it, we got it, and we are keeping it and all that. That's just some madness and illusion in the head. So, when we say this, people will think, oh, why are you talking like this? Everything opposite, isn't it? Because normally we think we got the world, we got the body. Atma, we don't know, we got it or not. This is our normal thinking. So, we are thinking what we have got is really the world. And we have got the body, that shariram is labdham. So when you talk Vedantam, people find this, ask this question, what's the use of talking all these things? They will ask this question. You find the spiritual life is a very difficult thing to get through to people's mind easily. It doesn't get in very easily. Because all lots of misconceptions people have about the world, about the body, about the Atma, a lot of misconceptions, isn't it? They will say, if you tell them that you haven't got the body, you haven't got the world, you have got Krishna, they will ask you, what are you talking about? You are saying that I have got Krishna? I don't even know where Krishna exists, they will say. But I got the body, this body I got it, they will say. World I have got it, all this property is mine and things like that. They will say. Then they will say, you tell us something practical. They want to hear something practical. So, practical means, generally what people mean by that is that they want to do some big work in this world, in a gross level, with the body, or and achieve something from that. This is what their understanding of being practical means. Practical means they want to engage their body and mind in this world, and some results must come from that. With this understanding, they are coming to spiritual life. You see, they worked in this world and they used their body and the mind to operate in this world, and a lot of results have come from that. And they are thinking this is the truth. And that same principle, they bring it to spiritual life and say, I'm ready to do what you want me to do. And I want to realize the truth now. Now, what you suggest to me, what I should do. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. That's how their attitude is. But unfortunately, that principle don't work in spiritual life. Spiritual life is the opposite way it is. We have already got the truth. Truth, we already have it. What you don't have is this body and the world. It is not intuitive. It has come and gone. All the time it's coming and going. And in full, this is called Maya. Maya makes you think that you've got the body, you've got the world. You don't have it, actually. That you can see from your own experience in life. What's happening in the body, you have no control. What's going on inside the body, you have no knowledge. And body has come and body will go one day. You don't have a clue when it's going to go. And for many years, body is not capable of doing anything in this world. Still you are thinking about this body. What, we don't have the body. Neither we have the things in this world. Which is also another Maya's trick, to think that we have got so many things here. What does it do? It makes you think that so much property accumulated, so much wealth, and finally one day, when the body goes, along with that the same thing also goes, isn't it? And even at that, by then it is too late to realize that it's not in you. You don't have it. Initially you didn't ever had it, first of all. It's some illusion you were thinking that you had all this wealth, you had all this body, everything. So this is where all the problem comes, that we are thinking, and that principle, this illusion in our head is so strong, we carry that into spiritual life also. Krishna is saying to us, you already have got no body, you haven't got a body, you haven't got the world either. What you have got is this awareness, me. Krishna is saying, it's me what you have got, not the world or the body. The world or the body. So, first of all, body itself is temporary, and not only that, in as far as the activities of the body is concerned, also you don't have much of a freedom there.
only for a few years in a life, you have some freedom to do, move around and do some things. Once you get 60, 70 years old, then you are busy with your body. That's all. You can't do very much. Move away from that, isn't it? So, practically you can see, the body is an object in the prakriti. It's an object in the prakriti. And it was born at some time, it took birth some time, and it grew for some time, and it kept changing for some time, and it started deteriorating after a while, and finally it disappears. Body disappears. Similarly, the mind also. And mind is nothing but, based on the body, some thought waves are coming inside, based on the body. And those thought waves also, chitavrti as they call it, those thought waves also, in an amazing way it happens inside, and it disappears also. If you look back in your own life, you can see that, isn't it? How, throughout life, so many thoughts have come and gone, come and gone, come and gone, isn't it? So, and similarly, this world what you are experiencing through this body also has appeared in front of you at a particular time, in a particular way. It has appeared. And that also doesn't remain steady in that way. It's also continuously changing. And nobody can give you any explanation for any of these things. Nobody can give you any explanation to all these things, isn't it? Why it is like that? How will you explain this? That you have got the body, you're thinking that you have got the body, but you haven't. You're thinking that you have got this world, various things in this world, but you haven't got it. And they are all continuously changing. So these changes, what is happening in the body, what is happening in the mind, and what is happening in the world, you can never get a perfect knowledge of all these things. Can you? It's just a transformation happening all the time. Continuously changing. That's the nature of the world. That's the nature of the body also. That's the nature of the mind as well. And that will continue to be like that. It's never going to change. So, this body and this mind and this world, you have come to know by whom? By whom? Who is coming to know about all these things? And that knowledge, which is illuminating all these things, and you are able to experience it in your mind and senses or body, and what gives all this world and the body and the mind some reality, that is what Upanishad says that, na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra tarakam, nema vidyido bhandi kutoya madni, tameva bhandi anibhadi sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhadi. Kathopanishad words that is. Kathopanishad is saying that na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra tarakam. The sun is shining in the sky, the moon is shining in the night, and then the stars are shining. Why do they shine? Due to the presence of the same Atma in them. Presence of Atma in them, they are shining. Otherwise, sun cannot shine. Kathopanishad is saying like this. Only 2 days ago, scientists have said that the helium is running out in the sun. And they have given some few billion years life of the sun. What do you say to these people? What can you say to them? Tell me. That this is the science. And this is some top scientists who have come up with this answer. They said helium is running out there. And once the helium runs out, they are given some few billion years. Still there is talk apparently, the helium. Once that helium runs out, it's finished. There's nothing. So, Upanishad is saying to us, na satra suryo bhadi, sun is shining, just like this body is moving. Why? Atma is there inside, isn't it? Why the sun is shining? Atma is there inside. Krishna is present there. Like we are moving around. Why? Because Krishna is present inside. Similarly with the moon, similarly with all the stars in the sky. Na tatra suryo bhadi, na chandra tarakam, nema vidyido bhandi, kuto ayam agni. Fire is able to burn and it is able to give light from the shine, the fire that comes and gives the light. Na nema vidyido bhandi, kuto ayam agni.
from Agni, that power of Agni to burn, the heat as well as the light that comes from the fire.
Tameva bhandi anubhadi sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi.
So, by whose presence all this is happening? It is that same person who is inside every living entity and doing all these things. This is the Vedic conclusion. Upanishad's conclusion is like that. So, and that thing, what is present in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, in the fire, there also, it is exactly the same thing that is present in us in the form of awareness or bodham or consciousness. In the same way it is present in us, in the same way it is present in them also. Where? In the sun, in the moon, in the stars, everywhere. So, that is why this bodham, consciousness, is a very important thing in realizing the truth. In realizing the truth. Because it is in this consciousness, awareness, bodham, this thing called mind comes out from that. Mind, which is a energy that cannot be defined clearly what that mind means. And from that mind came the body, and from the body came the world, isn't it? All other things have come out from that power, which is consciousness. From that consciousness, everything has come out. So in one verse, Kathopanishad, the rishis, Yamaranda Raja is saying to Nachiketas that Natatra Suryo Bhadi Na Chandra Tarakam Nema Vidido Bhadi Kutoya Madni Tameva Bhandi Anubhadi Sarvam Tasya Bhasa Sarvamidam Vibhadi. This one verse is enough to explain creation, what creation means. That's all it is. Krishna is present in everything in this creation. Without Krishna, this creation cannot exist in the way it is. All this variegatedness in the creation, different kinds of living entities, running around, moving, doing things, and the whole function of this creation, like the clouds, the rain, the change of seasons, the sun, the moon, there is nothing works here without the presence of that power, Krishna, inside. That is what, tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. It's only due to His presence all these things are happening. Otherwise it cannot happen. So that is why that power which is present in everything is present in us in the form of consciousness. Isn't it? Awareness. And it is from that awareness that the mind has come. It is from that awareness the mind has come. And that through that mind the body has come, which we have spoken many times before, and through the body the world has come. The world has come. And in this bodham, consciousness, all these things, like the mind, the body, the world, they all keep coming up, appearing and disappearing all the time. But that bodham or awareness inside, that he is a witness to that. He doesn't go through the same changes like the mind, like the body, like the world, what is appearing. And without any change, he is always present there in its own original state. Therefore, that is why it is so important that this understanding that my existence, of my awareness of my existence, I am existing, that is continuous. Body, mind, intelligence, they all change. But that awareness doesn't change. And that awareness is our experience, which is always present behind this body, behind the mind, and behind the intelligence. And they say all the time present like that. So, only thing is, our attention has to fall on that important thing, that vastu inside. Attention has to fall on our bodham. And that is all spiritual life is. Spiritual life is all that. That attention going away from the body, mind, intelligence and the world, and attention falling on that vastu inside, atma inside. So, what really we have got, we have to give attention to that. And what we really we don't have, you should use it for Vyavaharam. What we don't have, it's for Vyavaharam. That is how Vyavaharam word comes. The word Vyavaharam comes from that. It is not yours. That's why you are doing business with it. Money, body, world, everything is not yours. So that's only meant for Vyavaharam. What you really have got is prajna, consciousness, awareness, bodham, jnapti, prajna, whatever that is. That is yours and that is for shelter. That is for shelter. That's for shelter. And when our attention falls on that, then your shraddha falls on that vastu, then that is spiritual. That is spiritual. We should not waste our shraddha in all the objects of Vyavaharam, like the body, mind, intelligence, false ego, which is all combined together, isn't it? And what is happening is that keeping all these things, body, mind, intelligence and ego, and keeping our false ego, personality, in other words, we are conducting Vyavaharam in this world, isn't it? And while conducting this Vyavaharam, Vyavaharam means transactions. Transactions in this world, we deal with other personalities and other objects in this world. But you have to remember that all of them is asatya. All of that is asatya. So that is what Krishna mentions in the beginning itself. To remain in spiritual life, this separation is necessary. That Vyavaharam is always with asat. Vyavaharam always with the asat. Shraddha always with the asat, or the atma. Na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayora vidrishtvandam sthanayo tattva darshivi. Krishna mentions there. Isn't it? So, initially, na sado vidyade bhavo. Temporarily you may have that, but after a while this will also go. That will also go. But you have to remember like this, that vastu, which is illuminating everything in this world, which gives light to everything, and when it comes to your field of experience, anubhava mandalam, in your field of experience, that if you come to this awareness of your own existence, if you come to that, your attention comes there, which is present as aham asmi, I am in that way. Only if you inquire after that awareness, you will get the truth finally. You will get the truth finally. By analysis, you won't get it. Analysis, you won't get it. By thinking about it, you won't get it. That's what Upanishads are saying. That if you allow the mind to go to the world in an objectively, you will not get it. You will not get it. But Rishis have spoken one thing. Rishis are saying like this. One thing they agree, that even in a wrong way, suppose you have decided inside that I want to know the truth, even though in a wrong way, even if you do some upasana or sadhana, that one day or the other, that sadhana will bring you to the truth. That sadhana will bring you to the truth. Because more important than anything else is, this desire to know the truth. This is more important than... That is why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita that your desire is more important than your effort. Effort is not important. Effort will vary from person to person. Some people, they have realized the truth without much effort in this world. There are examples like that. It's not directly proportional to your effort. And some people, they have put a lot of effort, it hasn't happened. What does it show? It shows that it is not dependent on the effort. But what does make a difference is that person has a much more strong desire to realize the truth. To realize the truth. That means he was willing to do anything to get it. Willing to do anything to get it. That stage. So that is the nature of this truth. So that means even in our spiritual life we may make many mistakes. But mistakes are not taken very seriously, provided you have that intense desire, hankering for realizing the self. Eventually, it will bring you back to the truth somehow or the other. That desire itself will do that job. Will
do that work.
So any upasana, for example, different people have different sadhana in life, isn't it? Everybody doesn't follow the same sadhana process. Some people chant the holy name, and again, they chant different holy names, isn't it? Some people chant Narayana, some people chant Ramachandra's name, some people chant Lord Shiva's name, like that. So whichever way, whatever holy name you chant, still, because if your commitment is high, intense, result has to come. That's the principle. Because it's not that. What happens is that, just like some people go through the process of chanting the holy name, some people may have a different understanding of spiritual life. Some people are very serious about Srimad Bhagavatam. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam and absorbing in the Bhagavatam. 100%. They give their time and energy, everything for Bhagavatam. Some people, some others, they are absorbed in the deity worship. 100% into that. So, upasana or the sadhana can change from person to person. Now, you can't say that one person made it because of this process what he followed. What actually made the difference was that person's seriousness in the and commitment in the spiritual life. That means the strong commitment and desire to realize the truth inside. So that is more important. That means he create that due to his process of worship, whatever he followed, ultimately his subtle body, chittam, has become more powerful in that sense, that all your shraddha shakti, the power of that attention, shraddha shakti, so will wake up from inside, and it will take you to someone who will take you further from there in life. Will take you further from there in life. These are all established facts in spiritual life. It doesn't have to be questioned at all. Because that Krishna has set up spiritual life like that. Depending on our hankering or our intensity of inquiry, to what extent you inquire, accordingly the response from Krishna. Accordingly, response from Krishna. In the Bhagavadam, how Krishna puts it is, Almanu Guru Almaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade, he says. That Almano Guru Almaiva, he is present inside all the time as Antaryami, guiding us and telling us which way to go. Which way to go. He will guide you through if your commitment is serious. He will take you in the right direction, it will go in the right way. There will not be any kind of doubts about it. That much faith we must have. It is actually more mistakenly we get misled when you get too much faith outside with others and other people because you don't trust yourself, Andaryami. That's where all that problem comes. And when somebody offers you a package, you get attracted to it, isn't it? Package is so good that you feel that is the right thing to do. Everything makes simple for you, isn't it? Like they say, that like we say that the supermarkets, what they do, some supermarkets understood that if you keep everything under one roof, everybody will come and they'll buy something at least, clothes or food or groceries, something like that. So they bring everything under one roof, isn't it? So if somebody offers a spiritual life like that, we go after that, then everything is under one roof. You don't have to shop around in so many places. People think like that. All these misconceptions in the head. But that's not going to work. It's not something that can you do and get it. It has to come from inside. If you look at Mahatmas, you will know this. How they live their spiritual life in this world. Completely independent and completely dependent on the power of this Antaryami inside. Antaryami, if he guides, then you will go in the right direction. Otherwise, it's not guaranteed. So, at that time, when that Shraddha has woken up inside, Krishna from inside will come and will show the way to go further. Only thing is, if our Shraddha has not come to that level, that is why it's dragging on for a long period of time. So, somehow or the other, if the Shraddha is serious,
You have to get there. There is no other choice. You have to get there. So one example is spoken about that. You know, in the olden days, I don't know, nowadays also it's there. They have this, they break up within one state itself. They have different toll booths where you have, when you carry certain food or certain things from one area to another area, you have to pay the toll in different places. I don't know, it's not, within this small country it doesn't exist. But a tax you have to pay. And from one state to another state, if you carry goods, you have to pay taxes. Some kind of tax you have to pay. And sometimes people try to break that and go through some shortcut or some unknown route. They'll try to go through and cross the other state like that to avoid paying taxes. For example, in India what I've seen is that if you bring, say for example, some goods like cement or some of these iron for construction work, if it is shipped from Maharashtra, where a lot of steel mills and other things, and you take to say Tamil Nadu or to other states anywhere, it has to pass through 3-4 states, isn't it? So you pay the duty there. When you left Maharashtra, you pay your state tax, and then you enter into this state, finally where you enter, you have to pay there also some taxes, something, that's a toll-like thing. And there will be, you'll see in all states when you enter and when you leave, there is a toll booth where you pay the toll, isn't it? So, similar situation. Here also they have, used to have, but I think the EU now it has gone. Before that it did exist here also. They made it simpler nowadays, but it existed. But if you go out of EU, you have to pay taxes. And so if you bring goods into EU, you have to pay the taxes. EU taxes will be there. So, in the olden days, the transport was done through bullock carts, isn't it? Now you have sophisticated arrangements. But so, bullock carts, what they used to do, they were taking the goods regularly through the normal route, and they know, when they reach the toll, the bulls know that they have to stop. They get used to it, isn't it? They know, they'll come and they'll stop there. So, these bullock carts from the villages, they load the goods, and they will travel whole day and night to go to the distant place. So the person who is driving the bullock cart, he will sit there and he will sleep. He'll sleep the whole night. And the early hours in the morning, the bullock cart will come to the toll station. And it will stop. Only then he will wake up. And he will see it has arrived. He has to pay the toll there. So once what happened was, one person thought that he found some shortcut. And he told the bulls, and he beat them up and told them to go through that route. Bulls passed through all that route and he fell asleep. But what did the bulls do? It brought him back again to the same place and brought him in front of the toll booth. So, it is like that spiritual life also. You will go around a lot in so many ways. You will run this way, that way, going to this person, that person, read this book, that book, this sadhana, that sadhana, this temple, that temple. So many things you will run and do all sorts of things. But finally you will get to the destination. But the ride will be a lot smooth if you take this understanding that commitment is more important, shraddha is more important than anything else. So, there is no shortcut in spiritual life. There is no shortcut in spiritual life because the way is already very short. It's already very short. And it cannot be shorter than this. It is that short. Because Krishna is inside us as the truth present inside and we have got it. That is the truth, isn't it? So, anything, if you leave that truth behind and if you wander around in the world looking for the truth, that itself is a long route. So that is why although the truth is very simple and it is available to us, the tools what we use to get the truth, they are not like our intelligence and mind. They are all no good.
And that is why we are finding it so difficult to get the truth. Mainly our main problem is the mind. Mainly problem is mind. That's why the whole sixth chapter is about mind. Krishna is talking about. Krishna knows very well that the truth is not so difficult to realize it. But the mind won't allow that. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one very interesting episode, Pingala, in the 11th canto. Pingala's story is well known. You may all know the story, I think. Pingala was a prostitute. And she was always interested in entertaining customers and making money from that, isn't it? Dattatreya Maharshi goes there to on his way and he spends his time with Pingala. He spent one night there and he slept outside. Pingala slept outside. So this Pingala, what she said something, I don't know whether if you have looked at that, you will see there what Pingala has to say. In the 24 spiritual masters, Pingala is one of the important personalities. If you look into the 8th chapter, verse 30, Pingala, 11.8.30. He says there, Pingala says there, that Pingala had a long time spent in entertaining people and made a lot of money like that. But due to the Dattatreya Maharshi's special association, what she felt that day, that she felt detached from this world one day, had enough of life in this world. What kind of life am I leading? And some realization happened inside. Anytime it can happen to anybody in this world. Listen, that's what it is indicating to us. What sadhana Pingala has done? Pingala hasn't done any sadhana. But the Dattatreya Maharshi's association, great personality like the Dattatreya, Dattatreya had a little conversation with her and Pingala did a little service for the Dattatreya, allowing him to sleep outside her house on that small place wherever it was given. So after the Dattatreya left, Pingala thought, what a life am I leading? She thought like that. And I have been busy with enjoying life and entertaining others and making money and living like this. So Pingala says there, Sandam samipe ahome moha vitatim pasyada vijidal manaha yakandad asadakkamam kameyena balisham. Pingala's reflection on herself, her own mind. She's saying, ahome moha vitatim, what kind of illusion I have been living in. Pasyada vijidal manaha, instead of controlling the senses and advancing in spiritual life, yakandad asadak kamam kamaye yena baalishaha. I have been trying to fulfill all my desires and looking for happiness from others. Asadak. From asata, I was trying to look for happiness. And then she said, sandam samipe ramanam yati pradam mitha pradam nityamivam vihaya akamadam dukkhamaya vishodam mohapradam tuchamaham bhajeyam. I am an ignorant person, says Pingala. And nobody can come closer to me. I am so ignorant. But now what has happened? After the Dattatreya Maharshi left, she is saying, Sandam samipe ramanam rati pradam. There is nobody who is closer to me than Krishna. This realization has come to Pingala. Pingala says like this, that, and not only that, he is so close to me and he is permanently available for me. Permanently available for me. And Nitya Praptam. Nitya Praptam means never it leaves me. Krishna never leaves me. That is Pingala's realization. So what we are talking about is the same thing what Pingala is talking about. It's nothing different, isn't it? What Krishna is saying to us, that I am closest to you and I am always available. Prajna, jnati, awareness, bodham, whatever way you call it, it is Krishna who is present in that to us in that way. That is what we have got. We haven't got the body, we haven't got the world. This is our illusion, maya, that's making us to think like that.
So here Pingala is also confirming the same thing. When she woke up, she realized it. Krishna is so dear to me and Krishna is with me all the time. And therefore what does he say? That, and it is permanently available. I don't have to looking for it elsewhere in this world. And instead she's saying, I was thinking that I've got this body. I haven't got this body. Body, I haven't got it. And constantly I am losing this body. Isn't it? Body is getting sick. Body is changing. Body is dying. So, every moment, the body what you had last year, you don't have it now. Is it not? Everything has changed. All the cells have changed. And by next year, this body will again change. Isn't it? So every moment and every year, entire body is recreated. So, like the scientist says, in 7 years' time, the whole body changes. So, the body which you are born with, that body doesn't exist anymore. And the body you had 10 years before also doesn't exist. And we are still thinking, I am the same person. Is it not? This is another maya. That to think that I am the same person. This is all called ajnanam. This is all called ajnanam. Ajnanam is all this. To think something what I am not as I am. I am still thinking, oh, I am still there. That there's nothing else happened to me. So, because in the body, consciousness has no influence. And that is the reason consciousness is not aware of the changes in the body. You understand what that point? That you are thinking that consciousness is always in touch with the body. Consciousness is present in the body, but it is not in touch with the body. It is present in the body, but it is not conscious of any changes that is happening in the body. That is why we are not able to experience the changes in the body. Only when you look at the mirror, you say, oh yeah, I've gone old. Yeah. Or somebody else tells you, oh, you've gone very old. You think like that, isn't it? But you can see, analytically you can see, look at it properly, that nothing that is changing in the body I'm aware of. Even people are not aware when their kidney is taken out or liver is taken out or so many things are taken out. They are not aware of that. Only, it is always complained, in India particularly this is quite common, that you go in for an operation and the doctor thinks that he doesn't need two kidneys, one is enough. He takes out one and he sells it. This person comes back from the hospital, he is not even aware that one of kidneys he has stolen. He doesn't know about it, that is one of his kidneys. Later on he finds out that in an operation he had 10 years ago, his kidney was taken out. And that kidney is very much in demand, isn't it? So that's been sold in the market and somebody has paid money out of it. So like this, a lot of cases happen. What does it show? It is showing to us that anything that is happening inside this body, you're not even conscious of that. If we lose one ear or one eye, you will know about it. But anything inside, what goes on, who knows what goes on there? If taken out, you won't know about it, would you? So that's the thing. That's why bodham, consciousness, it's not creating any impact in your awareness of the body, isn't it? So, so body, mind, intellect is changing, but you are not aware of that change, what is happening inside. So body, mind and intelligence is continuously changing. because it's not creating any movement in our awareness, and that sense of experience is not in our field of experience. The experience of that senses or changes, sense of experience that's happening in the body is not in our field of experience, isn't it? Anubhava mandalam. That means in our consciousness it is not happening. It's all happening in the body. You're looking at the eyes and saying, yes, this has happened, that has happened. But the reason for that is this instruments with which you are coming to know about things and the the instruments as and then the things which is changing like the body, mind and intelligence, they have no connection. They have no connection. And because anything you can only properly experience only if you have consciousness.
awareness in you. In, because bodham or awareness by its very nature is your swarupam. Your real swarupam is bodham. Like when we say Krishna swarupam is jnanam, isn't it? Vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam is Krishna. Similarly, this awareness in us, which is Advaya Jnanam only, but we call it as Bodham in us. In us we call it as Bodham, awareness. So this Bodham, very nature itself, is our Swarupam. And all the time it remains in the form of experience for us, because we are experiencing that, in the form of Shanti or Anubhava. So what Krishna's point is, in reality, we are all full of knowledge. Knowledge is there already inside us. And we have already got it. It doesn't have to come from outside. It's not to come from the books, what we study. Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or any book. It doesn't have to come from there. And it is not something you have to get it either. It is eternally available with us. You can see this with many, many great personalities. They didn't study all the Shastram. But they, due to their good fortune, either they must have studied in previous life, or even in this life, they were directed by someone properly, or by the Antaryami inside properly. Then they realized the truth. After realizing the truth, when they read the books, they found everything tallies with the book, with the Shastra. Ramana Maharshi is a perfect example. There are many others like that. They didn't study any Shastram in their younger days. But when due to their, of course, from the effect of the samskara from previous life, it has followed them, that when it happened in this life, you could see that everything, spiritual development happened on its own way within themselves. All the necessary help and guidance came from inside, what was necessary. And when they have realized it, and they could never come back from that again, from that state, whatever they have spoken, everything was in agreement with the Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and whatever Vedic knowledge present in all the Vedic literature. So that is why always you have to remember this, that knowledge is not going to come from studying books or from outside. It's already there. Only thing, due to Shraddha, that has to wake up inside. Otherwise, it is not that by performing sadhana it's going to happen one day. Sadhana's purpose is completely different. Sadhana is only for one purpose. That sadhana is only for this purpose. That no matter how many times we repeat this, you will still say, can't understand it, what you are saying. Finding it difficult. Why? Because mind and intelligence is coming in at that time. And in order to suppress that mind and get rid of that intelligence, sadhana is necessary. That's what sadhana does. Sadhana has only one thing to do. Sadhana will block your mind, it block your intelligence, and you will start getting the message directly. So, sadhana is like a B-complex tablet. Take a tablet. So, particularly you take it thinking that it's doing something, isn't it? Whether it's doing or not, who knows? It's something like that. People are taking, but sometimes you've taken all the vitamin tablets and you're getting sick. So what do you answer for that? Whether it helps or not, people say it is helping, so you take it the same way. So, yeah, if you take that tablet, the complex tablet, your body may look a little bit stronger and everything. Similarly, all these sadhana also has got problems with that. That what it does is actually, it will help you to purify the mind and the intelligence. That's all sadhana does. That's what sadhana does. It purifies your mind and it purifies your intelligence. Like the vitamin tablets. It gives your strength for the body. So for the mind and the intelligence, this sadhana. So, but the main sadhana, Krishna has mentioned here also, that nishkarma karma nishtham. That means karmam, what is executed, one has to free first oneself from the bondage of karma. So
We will see this in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Finally, Krishna brings everything back to karma again. In the conclusion. Conclusion, the perfection of renunciation. Where Krishna is saying there that karma has to be purified. Karma has to be purified. And so only in this way, if karma is executed, then the chanting of the holy name, deity worship, going to the temples, all that will become a sadhana if it is executed in as a karmanushtanam, karma yoga or karmanushtanam in that way. So we will have a short break now.
Chedo dapana vajanam va mahadavardinuvavanam seyakayo satriyavajanam Ananam Purivardhanam Purivardhanam Purnam Nilaswadhanam Sarvatam Savanam Bharat Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namakarayu Hudadhyya Sarva Shakti Tatrasivayam Svaranena Kalam Evadrisham Pratipabhagavan Mahadhi Rudaivami Rishamhajani Manurakaham
So, coming back to this karmam, we were mentioning that sadhana is for purification. Sadhana is for purification. That means, through sadhana, what it does is, it purifies the mind, purifies the intelligence, and makes us more matured to receive the knowledge of the self. Receive the knowledge of the self. So, while executing sadhana, Krishna mentions that, we'll come to that in the 18th chapter, a long discussion about that, Nishkarma Siddhi, it is called Nishkama Karma. That means anything that is done without any strings attached to it. That means without any desire to get something from that. Whether it is chanting the holy name, doing the deity worship, going to the temples, or a sadhana, any sadhana, if you are not expecting anything from that is a very difficult thing, isn't it? Our train is two-track. One side, this is going on. The other side, desire is also going on along with that. Krishna is saying that is not nishkama karma. Nishkama karma means this, that we should be able to do this sadhana without expectation of anything from that. Now, how will that happen? That will be the question then. That will only happen through jnanam and vairagyam. Through knowledge and renunciation, you have to realize it, that it is not worthwhile spiritual life to execute for material benefits. This linking with our life in this world with spiritual adhyatmam is not good. In so many places Krishna has told us that already, isn't it? Na kartrutvam, na karmani, logasya sujati prabhu, na karma phalasam yogam, svabhavastu pravartate. According to svabhavam, we will work in this world. But karma and its phalam, there is no connection. Na karma phalasam yogam, it has no connection. So, till we realize it, we won't stop it. We will continue to desire things. Every time when we have, when we are chanting the holy name, or we are engaged in any kind of spiritual activity, we'll be still looking for some result from that. That is the difficulty. But Krishna is saying here, without desiring anything, you should be able to chant the holy name. And without desiring anything, you should be able to perform Sankirtanam. Sankirtanam. And without any desire, if you get that kind of devotion, bhakti, then chittam will become pure. It will get purified inside. And when the chittam is pure, chitta shuddhi happens, all these things what Krishna is talking about will come very easily, will be realized very easily. Otherwise, we'll have to keep battling with it. So that you can see here, that means in spiritual life, the first thing is that selfishness has to go from inside. Removing that selfishness from within, that is the first thing Krishna is talking about. And there the truth will manifest without any difficulty. The thing is that truth is already there in us. Already it's there. We are all, by very nature, it is truth, is our nature. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. But body, our true nature is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated. Upanishads are telling us again, but we are not able to accept it. As I mentioned many times before, rules and regulations you will accept. But more important than that, what Upanishad is telling us, we have a doubt. He was telling us Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. This is our identity, but we won't accept it. We have a difficulty there. So, whereas body, what is body? Body is temporary, anityam it is, isn't it? And it is impure. Everything opposite to these four things. Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupam. If you take these four things, everything opposite or to that is body. Atma is eternal, nityam, body is anityam, temporary. Atma is pure, body is impure, isn't it? Atma is always liberated and fully conscious. Body is always in bondage and always in ignorance, isn't it? Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Fully conscious Atma. Body is not conscious of anything. Body is jadam, isn't it? We leave the body there, it's jadam it is. Atma is not there, it's jadam there. That Atma's consciousness is what you are feeling as consciousness. It's not coming from the body. It is Atma's consciousness is that when you are touching, you are experiencing that. It's not coming from the body. Because as soon as the Atma leaves, that body is, if you touch, it doesn't feel it. So from there you have to understand that the Atma's presence is making that body, when you touch, you feel it. You are touching the body, actually you are touching the Atma. There. That conscious awareness is coming from the Atma. So therefore, a body has appeared in this world and it will disappear one day. It will disappear one day. So finding out what we have already got, which is Atma, finding out that is self-realization. That's all it is. Finding out what all of us have got, each one of us, finding that out is self-realization. What Krishna is saying here. And nothing else is going to happen in life. Nothing else is going to come from outside. Anything new. We are always thinking in spiritual life something is going to happen one day, isn't it? We are all living in some kind of illusion. That one day when I have chanted my 16 rounds for the rest of the life at the time of death, when somebody is going to come and take us up, and because there are stories in the Bhagavatam like Dhruva's case, aeroplane came, Ajamlas came, Vishnudulas came. So we are also living in that concept that one day so many people are going to come to visit us at the time of death and take us away. In that, what point is, Krishna is saying, if you understand this, that there is nothing to come anymore. Inside this understanding that already what we have got is Krishna. What we have got is Krishna. So, only thing is our attention is not there. Attention is still in the world, thinking, looking for something. So, what you have already got, you pay attention to what is already there. That's what is necessary, what we already have. And turning our attention, Shraddha, towards that is spiritual life. So if you give attention to this awareness in us, Ahamasmi, what Krishna is talking about, that Aham, in so many places, that Aham, if you give your attention there, then you can see that ultimately, what does Shastram does, what does an Acharya does, what does a Guru does,
All they are doing is that finally to take you to turn your attention towards that awareness inside. That's all what they are doing. That, and therefore, in order to have to realize that truth, and that is an only happen, that realization can only happen to Atma. It cannot happen to the body. Body cannot realize the self. The self-realization has to happen for Atma, isn't it? The realization of the self is happening to the self, not to the body. In body, it won't, nothing will happen. Nothing will change in the body either. So, because sometimes people misunderstand like that. They say like that, what will happen to the body? Arjuna had the same problem. Uddhava had the same problem. Do you remember? Arjuna asked a question, isn't it? Sthitapragnyatvam, when Krishna talked about that, Arjuna was thinking, how does he walk, how does he sit, how does he sleep? These so many things he asked. Uddhava also asked the question. You'll see in the Bhagavatam later. So these are general questions. Everybody asks the question thinking that something is going to change in the body. Nothing will change in the body. You won't find any remarkable changes happening in the body. So here, Krishna is mentioning here, people think that once they realize the self, that something is going to happen in the body. So, and that is why, you know, sometimes in the Puranams and in the movies also, in these documentaries and all, when they show Narada Maharshi, they'll show a light outside near his head. And or similarly with all Krishna and Ramchandra and all, when they show in the Ramayanam and Bhagavatam and all that, when they show the documentaries, they'll show with a light around their heads. So we also start thinking that when you realize there will be some light around us, aura, aura will develop around us. So, or they'll say like that, they'll think that, oh, because when I realize the self, I'll have to have some matted hair, a thick matted hair all around the head, or I have to go and sit underneath the banyan tree like Buddha did. And all these people identify like that. Because body is not going to realize anything. Body is completely different from us. It has nothing to do with us. And then, as far as the mind is concerned, and mind is never going to realize the self. Mind can never realize the self. It won't last anywhere more than 5 minutes. If it can stay for 5 minutes, it should take it as a success. So, mind and the body is never going to realize anything. That, then where is this going to happen? That once you remove the body and the mind completely away, then yasakshad aparoksham brahma. Shruti says here, brahmam is not pratyaksham, it is aparoksham. It is aparoksham. In other words, that truth what you are looking for, unlike the body and the mind, you will not see it, anything. It won't be manifested in front of your senses. But it is not pratyaksham, it is aparoksham. Shruti says like this, yasakshad aparoksham brahma. Brahma means aparoksham. It is aparoksham. Aparoksham means that it is only you will experience that in you, in your realization. Another person cannot know it. Another person cannot know it because you are the only person who is experiencing it and it's your realization. That's the way it works. Normally people think that, oh, how do you find out a person is self-realized? They'll ask that question, isn't it? How does he look? Or he can put up a show, but that doesn't help. Show doesn't help here. That realization is only yours, nobody else's. And only you will know that what change has happened in you. Not what happened in the other rest of the world. What has happened in you, you will know that change. So it's that is why when that change is happening, it's immediate and here and now. And it is in you as it your own self. That's where the change has to happen. So that is why it is connected with this awareness inside. I am that consciousness. It is connected with that. Give attention to that. That is why Krishna is saying here. So as soon as you say I am, immediately you start thinking the body. Isn't it? Meaning thoughts will go after the body. And therefore you have to first do some analysis of the body to prove that you are not the body.
Otherwise, what happens normally if you tell a person about, talk about someone, he will immediately think that it is the body. It's like we say, Krishna, we talk about that. Krishna says, I am. We start thinking, Krishna is the body, we start thinking. Whereas Krishna is talking to us from the platform of the soul. From that state, although he is speaking from that state, we don't know, we are identifying with the body. That's what happens to us. So body is not me. I'm not saying I'm in this body, because even if you cut my hands and legs off, this awareness is still inside and complete. That doesn't get diminished. So, and even in that state when I'm not this body, this awareness of me is still there. You see, as in the dream state, isn't it? And when that sushupti state, when there is no mind and there is no body, neither the mind nor the body is working. Neither the mind nor the body is working in the deep sleep state. And there also I am existing. So, that vastu, that truth which is present even in the sushupti state, and that me who is present even in the sushupti state, that truth is present in the dream state as well as in the wakened state. And in the dream state, in the wakened state, also the personality is there, the mind is there, but in the sushupti or the deep sleep state, the personality goes away, the mind goes away, and the body also goes away. In Bhagavad Gita, all these things are spoken only in a very preliminary level. I have to say this. Because if you want to get this in a deeper understanding, you have to study three major Upanishads. Particularly Brihadaranyam, Mandukyam and Chandukyam. That is where it has gone to such depth, particularly in Brihadaranyam. It is a very deep subject discussed in a very deepest level. You can't even imagine how deeply that has been discussed there in Brihadaranyam. So in Bhagavad Gita we can only have to principle and can understand. But how to analyze the truth, that is more interesting than this. The different aspects of the truth. And why a particular kind of truth is only valid in a particular state. For example, we have these three states, Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti. Certain type of truth is valid in certain state. It goes a lot deeper than that. And in certain truth, you cannot take into another plane. That means what is truth in Jagrat, you can't take into the dream state or into the deep sleep state, vice versa, from there also. So that's a big subject for the jnanis to learn. So in Sushupti, if principle, in fundamental principles like this is necessary to start with. But if you want get more interested in this and for analysis, if you become more enthusiastic about it, then the other Upanishad support is necessary to make it much more broader understanding. So, Sushupti state, this personality, the body and the mind doesn't exist. But still, I am there, that ahamasmi, awareness is still there. So, that vastu, which is present in all these states, that is what is referred to as Atma. That is what is referred to as Atma, the truth, and that is Krishna's identity, or what we call as Bhagavan, or Paramatma. Whichever way you address it, that it is that. And that is already available to us. It's not something going to come from outside. And it's always available. Not only now, all the time. Although it is so simple, and although it is so clear, why it is not coming in our experience? It's so clear when you talk about it, isn't it? That all of us have got it, and it is so clear as well. And that is why Krishna says here that why it's not coming to our experience, that is what he's explaining that. If you look into that verse, he'll say that Jnanam Avart is mentions there that if you look at the ninth verse, Satvam Sukhaya Sanjayati Rajak Karmani Bharatam Jnanam avrutyatu tama pramade sanjayatyuda. That jnanam avrutyatu tamaha pramade sanjayatyuda.
That is why it's not coming. So many times the same thing we are repeating again, 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 isn't it? Same thing, repeating again, again. But then why is not coming? An experience. Yanam avurtyadu tamaha. And he says here, pramadam sanjayatyada. That yanam, what is inside all of us, is covered. Very strong cover put on it by the tamogunam. Enough. Tamogunam, inside. Like the cloud covers the sun, this knowledge of the soul that is present inside everyone, that is covered by our tamogunam in us. So, once this cover goes away, this tamogunam cover goes away, that I am aham ahamasmi inside, that itself will manifest, illuminating us from inside. And this aham experience, aham in the, this experience of aham, awareness inside us, and the absolute truth, they are not two different things. They are one and the same thing. But avaranam has to go. Avaranam has to go. Krishna has mentioned here, jnanam avrutyadu tama. Jnanam avrutyadu tama. That is the problem. That tamas has put an avaranam. Avaranam. Jnanam avrutyadu tama. So once the avaranam goes away, then you will realize that this I am, which we are always talking about, aham asmi, that consciousness, that is not a person who is living inside this body. Instead, it is the absolute truth, akhanda satyam. Akhanda means unbroken. It is unbroken consciousness, what is present inside us. And like the sky, which is present inside and outside, and it is that Purna Vastu which is present everywhere, and that realization will come to a person. So, in order that this avaranam has to go, coverage has to go, for that tamogunam has to go. Tamogunam has to go. Not only tamogunam, even this rajogunam and sattugunam is also a block. But, after the tamogunam has gone, it is on the top of tamogunam, the other two are staying. When tamogunam is covering first, it is on the top of the tamogunam, first tamogunam covers it. And then on top of that is rajogunam and sattugunam. This is how it is. You can't have rajogunam and sattugunam like that. If you are not realized the self, that means you can more or less say that there is tamogunam in the person. Definitely, tamogunam is there. And on top of that tamogunam, there is rajogunam and sattugunam. But if you say that there is only rajogunam and sattugunam in a person, you must have some experience of the self, realization. But if there is no experience of the self, then you can 100% guarantee that there is tamogunam inside. So, tamogunam is the one thing that is covering the soul strongly. Yeah? That is what is important in that verse. See that? Jnanam sattvam suge sanjayati. If you look at how Krishna is defining their interaction with the soul. Sattvam suge sanjayati. Sattugunam creates sukham. Raja karmani bharada. Rajasa, what it does is karma. Creates karmam for you. But tamogunam, no. What it does? Jnanam amrutyadu tama. That knowledge what is inside is covered by the tamogunam. So, rajogunam and sattugunam is on top of tamogunam. You see that? That's the interesting thing, isn't it? Because we don't think like this, how rajasa sattum, tattva rajasa tamasa works. We take it that these are three different things and they act independently. No, they don't act independently. Tamogunam does the most difficult thing because it covers you. And once you are covered, then you can't. That is why we are not getting any realization from anywhere. Because you are studying, hearing, thinking, listening and analyzing everything with mind and brain and everything, but still, ultimately, you're feeling helpless about it, isn't it? Why that helplessness? Because of this tamogunam. He is the one
He is the real culprit who is doing that. Because if there is no tamogunam, suppose you had rajogunam and sattogunam, you will have some glimpse of the truth inside. Because rajogunam has not, don't have that capacity to cover. Like the, it, rajogunam only does one thing, connects you with karma. It will make you busy, that's all. But it doesn't cover the truth. That is why even some amount of rajogunam is not doing much harm. But tamogunam, depending on the depth in which it is covering, you will be away from the truth. Depending on the depth of that coverage, of the blanket, or the cover. That's why it is only due to tamogunam, people are not feeling attraction for spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization, due to tamogunam inside. And especially those who have come particularly from the animal body to the human body, there will be a lot of tamogunam, what has come from the other species, isn't it? And that will create great difficulty for them. Then they will become scientists and arguments and all kinds of things will come from there. They find it very, very difficult. And tamogunam develops more if you work with the jadam, dead matter. That's another aspect of that. If you get more absorbed in the dead matter, it will develop more tamogunam inside. Then other habits also creates tamogunam. Like this, there are various things which affect the tamogunam. But sattogunam, you can see that a person who is present in sattogunam, you will always find that person very easy to adapt to spiritual life. He doesn't find it difficult at all. So, here, tamogunam, so, avarana shakti, this covering potency is tamogunam only has got it. So, sattogunam and rajogunam doesn't have. So, what covers the truth, as we kept saying many times, the truth is already there in each one of us. It's present there, isn't it? Alma, Krishna is present there. And he has got this potency in him. Satta, Chitta, Anandam, it is. No experience at all, what we have at the moment, isn't it? So, that is what Krishna is saying here, tamas. Jnanam avurtyadu tamam, pramade sanjayatyuda. See that verse. Jnanam avurtyadu tamam, pramade sanjayatyuda. That is what tamogunam has done. What tamogunam has done? It covered the knowledge, and it connected us with the body. From body came what? Pramada. Sometimes you see people with their so much identification with the body, they look at their muscles and shape of the body and they always dress up identifying with the body so strongly. When you see them, they want to present it to the world how strong they are, isn't it? So many type of people like that, isn't it? But what you can see there is that tamogunam in there is very thicker, much big, thick inside. To cut through that is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. So, and even devotees are saying that. So what are you supposed to say? Devotees are saying that we need a good body and well cared for, with massaged and looked after. Otherwise, how can I do my devotional service, he's saying. So what to say now? There's no answer to that, he's saying. So, so once you have covered the truth with tamogunam, a lot of anartham will come from that. Lot of anartham. You know anartham means? What is the English word for anartham?
Unwanted thing.
Ah, unwanted, yes. Yeah. Unwanted, unwanted. Now, I think in the bhakti language it's put very lightly, but it's not so light. Anartham word means that it will drag you away from the truth further and further. That's what anartham does. Now, sometimes I've seen we have this, anartham is discussed. You know, when the devotees discuss, they say, oh, you have to get rid of all anarthas. They think it is something, something I can move away like that, to wipe it out from inside. It doesn't go like that. But it's such a whole thing, it is behind this. The word anartham, they say artham is anartham. There's a statement like that. The lot of money is anartham. That itself is an anartham. So here, Krishna is saying here that, So once the tamogunam covers the self, then there will be a lot of anartham. There itself anartham starts. So one place aprapta ashesha purushartha, praptam ashesha anarthaha. The result of this tamogunam is apraptam ashesha purushartha. Never you will realize the truth with tamogunam. You will never realize the truth with tamogunam. Not only that, all kinds of ignorance will come from this tamogunam. Tamogunam. Apraptam ashesha purushartha, praptam ashesha anarthaha. Praptam ashesha anarthaha means all anartham it will bring. All anartham. And it will never allow you to realize the truth. That is how powerful tamogunam is. Now you can see, out of the three, who is the best friend? Out of the three, still the best one is sattvagunam. Isn't it? Why we saying all these things is to understand that we should look for sattvagunam. Sattvagunam is more favorable than, even though sattvagunam has also got its own problem. Sattvam sanjayate, Krishna says there, sattvam sukhe sanjayate, he says there. So, because all our anartham in life is coming from this tamogunam, because of this not knowing the truth. That's why all the anartham started, isn't it? When we don't know, we are not this, we are spirit soul. From there the problem started. From that moment the problem has started. Started identifying with the body, then all other identification, one on top of the other, has all started from that. So, so not knowing the Surupam, Surupajnana means our identity, and that from there all problems have come. And this Surupa Jnanam is easier. Surupa Jnanam is very easy. That is what Krishna is saying to us. Is very easy. actually, as far as Krishna is concerned, even studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is more difficult than receiving this knowledge of the self. Because unlike you go to school and college and get the PhD and study with all these computers and everything, that much problem is not there for self-realization. Self-realization is easier than all this. That is the way realized souls talk about that. So you may wonder why it is spoken like that. The reason is, we are thinking that self-realization is the most difficult thing, isn't it? So, but in the Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, Acharya Swamiji says there that Brahma Vidya, Susambhadyam, he says. Susambhadyam. Because he says there, Brahma Vidya is more easy than anything else. He says here, we are saying that that's the most difficult thing. But Acharya is saying there that Brahma Vidya is the most easiest thing actually than any other, because you don't need computers. You don't need any of the books, nothing. All you have to know that Krishna is present inside as Atma. That's all. So, is it not an easier thing than anything else? This knowledge of the self is the easiest thing. But due to tamogunam, it's covered up. What can you do? So that is the principle. That Brahma Vidya, Susambhadyam, he says, Susambhadyam. It is easiest to get it. It's nothing important about that. And so, like there's a famous Vedanti Savimanava, he says like this. He said, you can travel on a tiger, you can sit on a tiger and travel. You can go and get hold of a jewel which is in the mouth inside a crocodile, but controlling the mind is more difficult. He says like that, about that. Yeah. So every realized soul will say this finally, that Brahma Vidya is easier than anything else. There is no problem at all. And Adi Sulabham. Alma Vidya is the most difficult thing. We are saying that, oh, it is the most difficult thing. And our mind is saying that from inside, and the intelligence is also saying that. And that is why, if you know,
this thousand names of Vishnu, is called Vishnu Sahasranama. In that thousand names of Vishnu, Vedavyasa Maharshi has given a name to Krishna. What is that? Sulabhaha, he says. Sulabhaha. Sulabhaha is another name of Krishna in one of the thousand names. Sulabhaha means very easily available. Because of this. Because of this. Sulabhaha. Suvradaha. Another name given there. Everybody, all of them are, Vedavyasa is saying Sulabhaha. Srinanda Maharshi is saying Sulabhaha. All the rishis are saying Sulabhaha. This knowledge is not difficult to get. Knowledge of the self. But our problem is this tamoguna inside. So the effort we put in to go to the moon and to go to the deepest level in the sea, ocean, and splitting the atom and to make the man, woman and woman, man, all these things are going on now, isn't it? So in all that, there is so much trouble to do all that. This is easier than all that. Than all the scientific discoveries. It's much easier than that. Some people are asking, why not the men start delivering babies? Now this is another interesting discussion going on, isn't it? So this is our brain today. The whole society is so gone crazy that these are the intelligent questions from the most intelligent people. Because we are all equal now, so why not we have it, this system also? That this is bringing equal business. Everyone, who has gone crazy now? This question comes, isn't it? So they are asking all these questions. So all this mind is asking all these questions, isn't it? From their mind it's coming. So, and they are saying, such intelligent questions they are asking, and they are saying it's most difficult. Self-realization is more difficult. Only thing is, they have not found a way how to sit peacefully in this world. In a peaceful way, how to live in this world, they are finding it difficult. After doing research for so many years and so many generations, why they are not able to find a way to become peaceful, to stay peacefully? And when you look at them, they have invented so many complicated things in this world, Nobel Prize winners and scientists and all that, but they can't control their own mind. And finally, due to distress in their own life, some of them have given up their life, committed suicide and gave up their body, either through hanging or through taking some poison, and they commit suicide themselves. So many times it happens. Many, many famous scientists who have spent their time and life in this way, they finally give up, get disgusted. Often you know that in Nobel Prize winners, there's a terrible competition among them. And sometimes some people don't make it. They have done equally good job, because there also there's a lot of cheating going on. Which you, if you read, you will see that there were some programs about that also, saying that this Nobel Prize winning business in many fields is quite complicated, in the sense that it is not so straightforward. That the presentation of certain papers and recognition from the higher authorities or the institutes which are involved with that. Again, the people under whom you are conducting the experiments, you may have been responsible for that, but credit goes to somebody else. This kind of competition comes from there. And sometimes, when somebody was done a lot of work, spent all their energy with attachment, worked for it, and finally somebody else got the credit and went away with it, and this person has gone and committed suicide. This has happened in many instances. In physics it has happened, in chemistry it has happened, in many fields it has happened. This is not unknown thing. So such intelligent people, who are so intelligent that they could focus everything on one topic and use all their energy and strength in finding out something, when it comes to their own mind, they can't control it. They lose their, they go crazy and they go and eventually give up their life. So, or they will come up with some strange conclusions in life. Somebody is running around to prove that God doesn't exist. Some people are there. Their only business is continuously lecturing all over the world to prove that the God doesn't exist. That's the only thing what it has, and then make money from that also. So, what is ultimately goal, purpose of all these things?
Krishna is saying here that they have failed completely inside. Inside they have totally failed. What's the use of gaining anything outside in this world? Once again, so that is why Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he, what did his name he gave to Mahabharatam? Mahabharatam he gave a special name for that. And Srimad Bhagavatam also begins with the same name, isn't it? Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraya Jayam. Jayam is the name he has given to Mahabharatam and he also given to Srimad Bhagavatam. Jayam is actually normally the name used for Mahabharatam. What Jayam? What is the Jayam of what? Jayam, what he is referring to is that where Dharmam has won. Dharmam, success of Dharmam. Where is Dharmam? Success of Dharmam. Dharmam is this. When your false ego completely goes, actually if you look at Mahabharatwar, nobody has won. All Pandavas were destroyed, their army, family, everything gone. Including Draupadi lost all her 5 children as well at the end. Can you say Pandavas have won the war? Don't think so. Can you say Kauravas have won the war? No, they have also lost. Kauravas have lost the war, Pandavas have also lost the war. But then what is one false ego when that has completely failed? When their false ego is completely gone, that is when Dharmam wins. Dharmam wins. That means, when the human society, when it realizes that all its inventions and discoveries and whatever it is, all techniques, when everything fails and Mahabharatam, that is what Vedavyasa is saying here. We know everything, Mahabharatam, what Vedavyasa is saying there. that they also had all these kind of things what we are doing today. Nothing is new about it. How he, Vedavyas created the Kauravas, you remember? That he cloned them, did he not? And he was a little bit more advanced than us. That this piece of flesh that came from Gandhari's stomach, he cut them into 100 pieces, put them into 100 pots, poured some water, and chanted the mantra, and told Gandhari, don't open that for so many days, and then you can open that. And when he opened that, when she opened it later, 100 children came out from that. So from a dead matter, flesh, Vedavyasa was able to create 100 life from that, is it not? So would you say that... Would you say that Vedavyasa was anyway behind the scientists as far as knowledge is concerned? Equally, some of the weapons they were able to use in the Mahabharata war, including Brahmastram, Agnayastram, Varunastram, so many things if you look at it, you could see their capacity to kill even without killing innocent people. So finer they had capacity. Today's warfare is not very developed in that sense. You have to kill innocent people for nothing. People who haven't done anything wrong to you, you have to go and kill them. All in the name of war. Isn't it? Whereas you can see in Mahabharata war, there were so many weapons were available, which without killing innocent people, because the understanding was that, who has to fight? The Kshatriyas have to fight. Why you have to kill all other people? Vaishyas and the Shudras and the Brahmanas. Why they should be dragged into the war? It is a matter between the Kshatriyas. One king says to the other king that I'm going to invade your country. So it's a matter between this army and the other army. Innocent people should not be touched. That is culture, isn't it? That makes more sense to you. Today what's happening? You can see the war today. What kind of war is this? That all innocent people, children, women, they're all being dragged into the war in the name of war. Absolutely no discrimination, isn't it? Whereas they had finer weapons, they were able to achieve their goal without killing innocent people, giving pain to other living entities unnecessarily. So whose advanced technology is more advanced when you look at that? So that is why, whether it is genetic engineering, whether it is nuclear power, whatever, if you look at it,
They had a much more, they have tried all these things in their own way. They have done it and they have found it, that all that is useless at the end. And that is why he mentioned here that all, particularly these two things, nuclear engineering as well as the nuclear power and this genetic engineering, both of them is very clearly spoken in the Mahabharata. Spoken Mahabharata, Vedavyasa Maharshi talks about that. And we may not have found those words there, but in principle it is exactly the same thing. So, so here you can see that Mahabharata war, most of the people were not born in the proper way, in the proper way, in the regular way. Because you can see that the Kauravas were created by this special power in that way. So, so everything was destroyed at the end, and Krishna is saying to him, to Arjuna, that at the time Krishna says to Arjuna, I have come to destroy every one of you. He says that to them, to destroy every one of you. Then, because, that it is in the Bhagavad Gita also, if you will see there, Kalosmi Loga Kshegar Pravrta, Loga and Samahartumiha Pravrta. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see this verse in the 11th chapter. Krishna says, I have come to destroy everyone. Isn't it? I think it is the Kalosmi Loga Kshegar Pravrtaha. Logan samahartamiha pravata kadevitvanna bhavishyanti sarve yavasvita pratyanigeshu yodha. 32. Shri Bhagavan Vacha kalosmi loga kshegul pravurtho logan samahartamiha pravurtaha kadevitvanna bhavishyanti sarve ye avasvita pratyanigeshu yodha. Blessed Lord said, I am time, I am destroyer of the worlds. And I have come to engage all people. With the exception of you, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Will be slain. So already that decision has been taken. And Pandavas were not happy about it. They thought, if five of us have to remain back and rest everyone gets killed, what this kingdom is for? Whom do you rule them? They are Kshatriyas, they need kingdom to rule, isn't it? But they don't have a, what is the use of having a kingdom where there is no people? You may as well rule the moon planet, or sorry, the Mars or Saturn or something like that. You can say, I'm ruling that planet. So what is the use of that? That's what they were saying there. So, but Krishna is saying here, I will destroy the whole thing and only then I will go. That means except you five, remaining most of them will go. That's what it was happened, isn't it? Because all of you are trouble for this world. All of you are trouble for this world. So you can see that even when people want to remain peacefully in this world, that is also not possible. That's also not possible. So, as long as we have, it's very funny when they start talking about, in, you know, big countries who have got all these weapons, everyone, whoever has got it, and they're also talking about peace. They call it deterrent, isn't it? So everybody is going through this deterrent thing. And they are talking about peace. And that is why in the Bhagavatam you will see that Uddhava says this to Janam Janena Janayan Marayo Mrityu Nandikam. It is in the third canto somewhere. He says there that Janam Janena Janayan, what Krishna does is he uses some people to give birth to some people. Then he uses some people to kill other people. So using us, all the human species, Krishna knows how to play the game with us. If he finds that somebody is becoming too demoniac, the society is becoming demoniac, he knows how to kill them with other people, using others. And he also knows that how to give birth to people using the same people, other people. Janam janena janayan marayo mutti gandagam. This is the Krishna's function here. That is what Krishna does here. So, and just like Uddhava gives example that when you get a thorn in your body, you take another thorn and pull the thorn and throw away both. In the similar way, Krishna says here that finally he found out, he used the Yadavas to clean up the place. Then he says, I have to finish up the Yadavas also, clean them up also as well. Isn't it? So,
Initially, he made the Kshatriyas to fight there, each other. And finally, he brought the Yadavas and created the split among them, created their intelligence gone crazy, made them to do all the all the things what they had to do in Prabhasam. He told them that you go there, and if you perform these austerities and penances in Prabhasam and give charity to the Brahmana, the curse will not have any effect on you. Saying thus, he driven all the Yadavas from Dwaraka to Prabhasam. And Prabhasam, they performed all their austerities and penances, gave plenty of cows, gold, clothes, and plenty of nice prasadam also to the invited Brahmanas, fed them very well, and sent them away. After that, what Krishna did? Janam janena janaya. Got them to, like, go after the church, you go to the pub, in the same way. That's exactly what happened. That if people do like that, isn't it? Because they get so stressed in the church, they have to go to the pub to clear the stress. So same thing what happened there also. After doing all this, pleasing all the Brahmanas, gave them a nice feast, and they were all in a super consciousness. Everything was done perfectly. Krishna says, all your sinful reactions are gone now for offending the sages. That's finished now. Now you can have your drink, they said. So they made themselves what they wanted to drink, Mairayam they call it in the Bhagavadam, a special drink, and got drunk well, and immediately pulled out all the sticks, started beating up each other. They wanted to beat Krishna also, and Balram also with that. Balram also got involved. And like this, these things happened. Janam janene janayen, Mairayam mukti gandagam. So created there also, and destroy all the others also in the saying, because you are also a burden here, you also should go, he said. So, like this you can see in Mahabharatam as well as in the Bhagavadam, finally nobody has won. Nobody has won. Actually, that this failure of the human society is Mahabharatam. That's what Mahabharatam is teaching us. That human society is limitations. If it tries to go get drunk and enjoy and go out of control, Krishna knows where to make the adjustment. And he doesn't need anyone to come for that. He knows how to create within us this problem. And so due to false ego, our false ego, it is the power of that false ego which comes in the form of this jada shakti. Isn't it? Jada shakti. Jada means this. You know, all this manipulation, what we do with the aircraft, with the, it is all jada shakti, isn't it? What do they call it now? The drones and things like that. It's all jada shakti, that is. It has no life of its own. Jadam. So, jadam, we are developing more and more in the warfare equipment and everything like that, isn't it? And that jada shakti finally fails. Jadam cannot have strength. Jadam will only create havoc and eventually it will die out. And what Mahabharatam is saying to us is the failure of the Jada Shakti and the success of the Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is Krishna, isn't it? Chit Shakti is Krishna. So Chit Shakti will always win over Jada Shakti. Jada Shakti can never win. And what we are busy with, developing this Jada Shakti more and more, instead of developing the Chit Shakti. So that Jada Shakti success is, Chit Shakti success is story of Mahabharata. And the story of Bhagavadam also. Because Mahabharata has come to Bhagavadam also quite a bit, isn't it? So that is why, because if you look in Mahabharatam and as well as Bhagavadam, finally, there is only one conclusion, what Bhagavad Gita says, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is the summary of the Mahabharata's messages, Bhagavad Gita. Everybody acknowledges that. In the, this Mahabharata, right in the middle, in the Shanti Parva, Vedavyasa has put this Bhagavad Gita in. The whole remaining part of Mahabharata is full of fighting, killing, and all other talk about dharmam, adharmam, everything. But right in the middle, Krishna, Vedavyas put this Bhagavad Gita there. Why? Because finally what remains in Mahabharatam is this Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's message, which is Chit Shakti. So Chit Shakti's success over Jada Shakti matter
Success of spirit, soul over matter is jayam. What we call it as jayam. So that is why in the Lalitasa Sadama mentioned this before. Chitshakti, Chetana Rupam, Jada Shakti, Jadalmiga. These two things are present in the Prakriti, both Chitshakti and Jada Shakti. Chitshakti will always win. It can never fail. And because we don't understand all these things, the big leaders, the big scientists, they are all chasing the Jada Shakti. Jada Shakti will never bring any peace in this world, except we'll get more and more complicated and confused about it. So I think it is 5 o'clock. We'll stop today. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.